sketch about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey, Lisa. Do you work at Subway? Because you just gave me a foot long.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Hey, Calvin, Dean, and Lisa, may I force it in you? What's happening?
I guess everybody does love Dick.
I'm just trying to help you think about the future. You're a certain age now. The parade of boyfriends can't be as amusing as it was. You need to settle down.
I'm pretty good with the penises.
Oh, that's a bunch of baloney, Lisa.
You know, every time I look down, I go, wow, I gotta have some of that.
Lisa May.
All right, now I have a boner.
Lisa, you're never going to get a husband by being sarcastic.
Way funnier if you offer up the first name.
Nice work, Lisa.
Hey, this is Lisa May. I'll be there pounding some brews.
Real mature, Lisa.
And now.
You know.
Our feature presentation.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Yeah. Welcome to an all-new week. How's it
Come
going?
On.
What?
Wow. You've been in the studio less than 10 seconds.
Here's my thing.
10 seconds is really pushing it. I'd say a second and a half.
Everything in your hands on the against the wall?
Here my whole thing. No, not against the wall. I threw it nicely in the corner. Here my whole thing. No one would know if you wouldn't point it out.
Oh, but what fun is that for us?
It's so amazing. It's so remarkable to me. I mean, when you got to "and now," you weren't in the room.
No, well, that's true. I did hear that in the hallway.
It's unbelievable.
When I hear that in the hallway, I go, oh, no, I better run. So,
all right. Well, it is Monday. It is, what, the 24th of January? Is that where I am? All right, you heard the tribute to Lisa May. Some of us heard the tribute to Lisa May. Kevin did not.
I enjoyed that very much. Thank you, B.
And here's a story that I think you will appreciate, especially Lisa May.
All right.
A 44-year-old woman in New Zealand took herself to the hospital. She was sitting on the couch watching some TV, and all of a sudden she started losing movement in her left arm. And they always say, by the way, and you see campaigns all over the country now, billboards and everything, that if you feel like you might be having a stroke, the faster you get medical attention, the better.
Yeah.
Right.
It'll do nothing but get worse. So she did the right thing. So she went to the hospital. She said, I'm losing movement in my left arm. What up? Well, they found out that she had suffered a stroke, but they couldn't figure out why until they found a small bruise on her neck near a major artery. It turned out that it was from a hickey.
Vampire.
She had a stroke from a hickey, ladies and gentlemen.
What?
Nice.
Yes, because of the physical trauma of the hickey, it made a bit of bruising inside the vessel. Apparently, there was a clot in the artery underneath where the hickey was, or as they call it in Britain, by the way, and New Zealand, in Australia, a love bite.
A love bite.
A love bite. There was a clot in the artery underneath where the hickey was. The bite dislodged the clot, and that caused a minor stroke that led to the loss of movement. How crazy is that?
Is it possible that hickey, that love bite, saved her life?
That's what I'm wondering.
Like, maybe that would have dislodged at some point and been worse?
Maybe, or she never would have had a stroke if it hadn't been for the hickey, because it would have just stayed there forever. I guess where there's no way to know. But that's a bizarre story. Doctors looked it up after they figured out what happened, and they said they had not seen anything in medical literature that had been described like that before. So they don't know if that happens all the time. This is the first time they just knew about it or what. But.
Well, I think we shouldn't take any chances. I mean, I think we should really up the hickey count. And really, if you're going to give somebody a hickey, I mean, you got to make it count. Really bite.
Well, I think you better really know him, because, yeah, you might be putting him down. So don't do it casually.
You could be putting them down, or you could be helping them.
It's true.
I mean, it's worth the risk, I think.
Love is dangerous. That's what we've learned.
That's correct.
Love is a battlefield.
Yes, it is.
That it is, too.
That's a bizarre thing, though, right there.
It is.
Man, and by the way, strange. Am I the only one who thought that 44 seems a little bit old to be getting a hickey?
Yes!
Really?
Isn't that something that most people, you know, you do it when you're young and it's fun, you don't care, but then no, you don't often see old people walking around with hickeys because they just like, look, I'm into the making out or whatever, but I don't necessarily need the...
That's like thinking about your mom and dad having a hickey. You go, hey, what's happening? Let's not do it. What? Cover that up. Put a bandage on that or something. We don't want to see that. We don't want any proof that our parents are having sex. Zero.
No.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Thank you.
That was underwhelming. What was that?
Just people singing thank you.
From what, though?
I don't know.
Like some show in the 30s?
I don't know.
They're not even excited, Bean. They're not even going, thank you. They're just,
Don't tell me about it. Tell the Kevin and Bean singers.
Play the singers again.
Well, hang on. Now I got to bring it up again. I got to find it again.
I wish we had Kevin Abiedsinger.
I know. Wouldn't that be great?
We do need Kevin Abiedsinger's like full time in studio just to chime in.
That'd be great.
Was it Scrubs where they had those guys that were walking around all the time?
The quartet. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Let me see. Here we go.
I won't get a chance to find a clip you played 2 seconds ago.
Well, I don't have it. The same place where you
have an automatic shuffle machine.
You know how he deletes everything immediately?
Is it gone forever?
It's in a library, and then you line it up, you set it up to be ready to play, but then you have to go back and reselect it.
Thank you.
It's even kind of creepy.
It is. It's
there's slightly spooky edge to it.
It lacks energy.
Flute makes it.
It's creepy that someone is rocking the flute, but I'm going to suggest we get rid of it.
No, thank you.
All right, just checking. Just suggesting that perhaps it doesn't have the...
No trouble finding that.
Doesn't have the pizzazz.
But now I'm in the thank you file, Lisa, so I've got nothing but thank yous.
Oh,
but the delay was getting back into the thank you file. You don't know how Japanese business works.
Good point.
Thank you very much.
Right, timely Bob Hope Drop. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abiedsinger Show. We have...
Why, thank you, Doctor.
Sal Masekela from the Winter Games.
Excellent. Nice.
Winter X Games, which are this weekend. Hard to believe.
Yeah,
he's the Shreddy Negro, by the way, as he calls himself.
He
loves the skiing. He loves the snowboarding. He loves the Winter X Games. This is one of his favorite times of the year, so he'll be very excited.
It's like Thursday through Sunday or something, and it's more than 24 hours a day. I don't know how they do it. It's like 36 hours a day.
Wow.
And you can watch pretty much all of it. We also have Los Angeles is the rudest city in America.
Thank you, Ryan, very much. It's really good to be back with you again this year.
A lot of other cities have been known as rude cities. New York City has, you know, long been thought the rudest city in America. But Los Angeles.
I think it's the traffic. I heard people discussing it last week, and inevitably they would bring up the traffic and how rude we all are in the cars.
Yeah.
But there's traffic everywhere.
It's just not.
Yeah, but L.A. is one of the worst cities in the country.
The worst, according to the polls that come out every year.
Yeah.
Pizza poll. For traffic, though, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's soul-crushing.
It is soul-crushing.
If you're stuck on the 405 for any amount of time, it really makes you so angry.
It does make you question your life choices. Every day. You know?
No, that's true.
We come in super early. There's no traffic. Honestly, if you were stuck in that every day going to work and coming home, you would want to kill yourself.
And it's weird. You're in any other city, San Francisco, Phoenix, Nevada, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
You get on a freeway and you drive. You know what
I mean?
So funny. Like, moves. The people in front of you are not stopping.
You're not checking SigAlert.com before you get in your car.
Right.
And LA's so spread out. I mean, you drive 40 minutes everywhere. I mean, that's like to go to the supermarket. Everything's so spread out. It's horrifying. It's a horrible, horrible experience.
Yesterday, I went from Studio City to Culver City in the middle of the afternoon. Gave myself an hour. Took 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Because there happened to be no traffic.
You don't know.
But
you
normally an hour is really what you should give yourself.
Yeah. I hear you. Well, all right. So we're number one.
Woo!
Woo! USA.
We're also going to take calls from celebrity personal assistants because it seems like celebrities might ask their personal assistants to do things that the rest of us wouldn't think of.
This has to be fascinating.
And we know that there are a lot of you who have had that job and you have to sign some kind of an exclusivity thing where you won't tell anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But you could be anonymous. We don't have to know who the celebrity
is. Yeah, exactly. No, we don't have to know who you are.
We don't have to know you are. Yeah, well, both. But we'll guess the celebrity.
You could give us hints.
I mean, I think we'll be able to figure out who the celebrity is. But anyway, we'll take your phone calls a little bit later on this morning. Social D is going to be in studio later this week. I believe Thursday, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
And today we're going to have a contest to have two people come down on Thursday morning and watch live.
No kidding.
So it'll just be you and them, which is a little odd.
Do we have to leave?
Thank you, sir, man. Have another.
Do we have to leave? I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I think we're just going to add them to the mix.
All right. It sounded like it was just going to be them.
Yeah, no.
All right.
No, fortunately, that's not the case. I don't know if you have seen the stories in the Inquirer about Sarah Palin and her poor husband, Todd, and how he's cheating.
Yeah.
But who could blame him?
No one.
You know?
I don't know. She's kind of hot. But
yes,
then she talks.
Right.
And talks.
She talks about bears and hockey and moms and that voice. Oh, my God. She's sound down.
Betcha.
And I don't know if you saw the games over the weekend, but we have a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We actually have two teams that are going to make it to the Super Bowl. The Jets are not one of them. The Bears are.
Sorry, Mike.
The Bears are not one of them. And that's because they have a quitter quarterback. Dude just quit. I don't know if you saw that or not.
I didn't.
Just walked off, said, you know, I guess my leg hurts. And everybody said, okay, what do we need to do to get you back in? And he was like, I don't know. He just didn't seem to care. A lot of talk about him not caring.
Oh boy.
Some people will call it tapping out. He just didn't want to be there anymore. But then, a lot, you know, his teammates come to his defense and say, oh, he's the toughest guy in the world, Brian Urlacher says. Mm-hmm. So who knows? Who knows what the hell's going on with him? So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the celebrities this weekend with Harvey Levin from TMZ. And we've got the Showbiz Beat coming up next, right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Rise Against, also Black Keys Offspring, and Kevin's favorite Mumford & Sons, all straight ahead the next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new week. Ralph Garman, what's up, man?
I got tickets. Seems like I have tickets every day. You do? I'm like a ticket clearing house. I sell them deep and stock them cheap or something like that.
It's the other way around.
My chair is way too low.
Hi, everybody. How you doing?
Who sits in here? Who sits here every weekend? What midget do we have working here on the overnights on the weekends? Hold on a second.
I'll give you a hint. He's 60 years old and worked last night.
All right. My chair's low.
I think we have genius engineers, and what they do in the weekend is they come in and they make the chair go the opposite of the way you want it to go. So you're trying to bring it up, and it goes down.
I think they can make a... They get loaded, yeah. And then they just F with everything. And they say, wait till they get in on Monday morning. All hell's going to break loose. It's going to be so funny. Make sure you listen.
That goddamn chair. It's not my chair. Not my chair, not my problem. That's what
right.
I say.
You're right. Anyway, I've got passes to a very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Sanctum, the new movie from... the guy who did The Abyss, Kevin, your buddy, James Cameron.
Sure.
Yeah. He's producing this film. It is in super duper James Cameron 3D. All that a bunch of people go spelunking.
I'm sorry?
Into the world's largest cave. And the things they find down there don't make them very happy.
Oh.
Bad things happen in Sanctum. It's in theaters everywhere on February the 4th. You'll get to see it on the 2nd if you're one of the lucky first five callers at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First five callers who get through get a pair of passes for the very special advanced screening of Sanctum.
Bro, Sanctum? I've not heard...
I hardly even know him.
I've not heard too much about this. Is this an actual James Cameron-directed movie, the follow-up to Avatar?
No. As I mentioned just earlier, he is producing the film, and he is providing all the 3D technology for them to do this spectacular 3D spelunking film.
I bet it's awesome.
Nothing better than spelunking film.
Oh, spelunking.
Oh.
One of my favorite subjects of horror. As we do every Monday morning, we take a look at the movies at the box office and see what people are going to see. Number one this weekend was No Strings Attached.
Oh, my God.
In its debut, made $20.3 million, making it number one at the box office this weekend. You see, they are friends, but they decide just to have sex with no strings attached.
Here's the thing. I saw it.
Oh, F you.
Look who saw it. Not me.
Yeah, Lisa. Right. I apologize.
But you guys know my love for Natalie Portman. She's amazing.
Yeah, right. See Black Swan again. Do that instead.
Right. It's not as bad as you think at all.
Oh, F you.
For a romantic comedy, if that's what you're looking for, it's not bad.
Here's the category.
Right.
Guys,
so Ashton Kutcher isn't in it, you're saying?
Ashton Kutcher is pretty good.
Oh.
No, don't leave. I'm saying it.
No way.
He was pretty good. Come back. Come on. Ashton Kutcher was pretty good.
No way. Get real.
He's a red flag for me, too. I hear you. Like, when I see a movie that he's in, I go, oh, no. He was pretty good.
Not once, not never.
But here's the thing when you're in a relationship. And by the way, I went by myself, so this doesn't apply to me. But if you're in a relationship.
Hold on.
And your girl wants you to go see a romantic comedy. I'm telling you right now, like, this isn't
but
that bad.
But that's not what happened.
You'll be able to stomach
but
it.
But that's not what happened. You went by yourself.
Sick. Very brave of you to admit that.
She was sick. Well, the thing is that Natalie Portman.
You're sicker than she is. Whatever she's got, you're worse.
Natalie Portman is in a movie saying, let's just have sex, no strings attached. Really?
Is it a porn?
No.
Exactly.
Then you're off the hook.
It's pretty sexy, though. She's hot.
Oh, man.
And he's not bad, either.
Lisa May is more manly than Kevin is right now.
I'm just telling you. Who else saw it? Anyone?
No!
Right, so you're all guessing.
Well, I'm going to go.
I'm saying I saw it, and it wasn't as bad as we all thought it was going to be.
This is you saying it.
Well, okay. You could... You can put however much weight behind what I'm saying as you'd like.
You're like the freak of the sideshow. Eats broken glass and light bulbs, saying, hey, this steak's pretty good. You're not the guy we should go to for this.
Oh, right. I'm just saying. I saw it wasn't that bad. That's all. I didn't want to start World War III here.
Well, don't go see bad movies then.
Oh, that's, please.
That's your passé.
Is Ashton Kutcher all sort of dorky and like a puppy dog and just all just, is he all Ashton-y?
Maybe it's because I expected him to be that bad, but he was pretty good.
Oh, go rape yourself. Seriously.
Did that after the movie.
Number two at the box office was The Green Hornet. Made another $18 million. Good enough to make it number two at the box office. We hadn't talked much about The Green Hornet. It's not very good.
Not what you were.
We love Seth Rogen so much.
Yeah, we do. So it's hard to say, but it's not.
You were disappointed.
It's not very good.
But it was better than going to see the Natalie Portman movie, right?
I'd go see it again right now. Backwards.
She's pretty hot. Natalie Portman.
The Dilemma was third at the box office. Made a little under $10 million. Good enough to make it number three. The King's Speech was number four. True Grit was fifth. Black Swan was number six. The Fighter was seven. Little Fockers came in at number eight. Yogi Bear was ninth. Tron Legacy rounded out your top ten at the box office this weekend. What to see Barney's Version this weekend.
Yes, how is that?
With Paul Giamatti and Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
And it's a good movie.
That's it?
Yeah. It's a good movie.
Not great.
A lot of people are just raving about it. Like, oh my God, it's amazing. It's fine. It's a fine film.
Won a Golden Globe, if I recall, for Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti won. He is very Paul Giamatti-like in this film.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's his kind of role, and he gives his kind of performance, which is always entertaining. But it is pretty standard melodrama fare, I got to tell you. I was underwhelmed.
I think your
How was Ashton Kutcher in it?
I think your expectations...
He luckily wasn't in it. That's one of the reasons I went.
I think your expectations play a huge role. So you expect that movie to be great.
And only because the word of mouth was, oh my God, right. it's such a moving, stirring drama.
And then it didn't overwhelm you.
And it's fine.
I expected this to be pretty bad, but Natalie Portman's hot. So then it was
Don't compare my movie-going experiences to your movie-going experiences.
You got Paul Giamatti.
Ever.
I have Natalie Portman. I win.
Minnie Driver's excellent, though, in Barney's Version. She is. She's good in it.
I know. It's just, there's a story we can't tell
she's
that I sure wish I could.
In that,
all right, go ahead.
And Rosamund Pike, the beautiful British actress, she's also in it. So good cast. The cast was the strongest part of the film, I think. It was really sort of...
Good.
Good. Yeah. So that's good. Right? Good's good.
So that's all right.
Sad news. Oh, Psycho Mike is in black today. I can see why he's dressing in black. He is, of course, mourning one of his idols. I can only imagine. Fitness legend Jack LaLanne has passed away at the age of 96 years old.
No!
Just goes to show you what I've always said. Exercise kills, man.
That's correct.
Do not work out too much or you will die.
You've said that. And
that's right.
Shown to be true.
Sit down and rest.
You don't know, man. He could have lived to be 120 if he hadn't exercised
so
much.
That's right. He worked his body so hard. Now look at him. Dead. Nice work, Jack. Instead of being buried or cremated, Jack's family asked that he be juiced.
Really?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that was one of the options.
It isn't, but when you're Jack LaLanne, you can do whatever you want. He used to pull tugboats on his birthday, for God's sake.
True.
He can get juiced if he wants to die that way. You know?
Wasn't he doing crazy birthday stunts well into his 80s, Ralph?
Yeah.
Making us all look dumb.
His TV show, for those of you who don't know the name Jack LaLanne, it's possible, because he was on television a long time ago. But his fitness show, he was the first guy to go on television and do exercises and say, exercise along with me. And it was usually on during the daytime, and housewives would sit at home, then they would work out with Jack LaLanne. And he was
I have a boner.
Yes, Lisa would get a boner.
He wore that cute little jumpsuit.
He was a fitness phenomenon. He was the first of the TV fitness gurus, started a whole cottage industry, and his show was on for 34 years.
It was? Wow. Then people realized that you could watch hot chicks lead you in exercise, and that's when he went away.
Yeah, I'm sure. Think you were working out when you were watching that, Kevin.
That's I was.
Thing. Yeah, I bet you were.
I mean, he was so important to, like, exercise in the fitness world. The word jumping jack came from the exercise, the jumping jack, is named after him.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, that's how profoundly he changed, like, the industry.
And he opened a chain of gyms. He was the first guy to have his own national chain of fitness centers and stuff. So, you know, Psycho Mike owes him a great debt of gratitude.
Thank you.
How are you going to celebrate, Mike? What are you going to do in his honor?
I'm going to juice up some kale.
Good.
And some supersets.
Oh, man.
Some shoulder supersets.
Supersets and kale.
Yeah, maybe that some deep squats.
You are a blast in a glass
right
there.
It's going to be awesome.
You're a walking holiday. Day.
Yeah. No, RIP, Jack.
Today is the day where the Razzie nominations were released. The Razzies, for those who don't know, stands for the Golden Raspberry Award. It is the answer to the Oscars. It celebrates the worst in filmmaking. Nominations are out this morning. Just some quick highlights. The Twilight Saga, Eclipse, and Last Airbender lead all of the films this year with 9 nominations each in various worst categories, starting with Worst Picture. Rounding out the list for Worst Picture are the vampire parody Vampires Suck, Sex and the City 2, and The Bounty Hunter. Oh, yeah, sweet.
Those are pretty good choices.
Other notable Razzie nominations include Cher for Worst Supporting Actress in Burlesque, Liza Minnelli and Barbara Streisand all vying for that coveted award. Miley Cyrus is up for Worst Actress. And leading the nominations for Worst Actor are Rob Pattinson, Taylor Lautner, Gerard Butler, Jack Black, and Ashton Kutcher, also nominated in that role. So even Billy Ray Cyrus, Miley Cyrus' dad, got a nomination for his work in The Spy Next Door. So you can look forward to the winners being announced in Hollywood on February the 26th.
They have an awards show, don't they, as well? Or no?
They have a ceremony.
They have a ceremony.
Yes, it's not televised anywhere, sadly, but they do have a ceremony. And it's the night before the Oscars is when they give those out. So congratulations to all the nominees. You must be so proud. Kevin has probably seen all of your films, so you got that going for you, people. Today's celebrity birthday is Misha Barton from The O.C. is 25 years old today. Tatiana Ali from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air celebrates her 32nd birthday. Matthew Lillard celebrates 41 years. Neil Diamond is 70 years old today. Legendary actor Ernest Borgnine is 94 years old today. Ernest Borgnine, fat, smoking, ugly, just lazy, fat, ugly Ernest Borgnine, almost the same age as Jack LaLanne. That's all I'm saying. Alive.
Good point.
He's alive. Jumpin' Jack is dead. That's all you got to know, people. Keep that in mind. And actor Ed Helms from The Office. And from an upcoming film, which I saw previews for this weekend before Barney's version, called Cedar Rapids. Have you seen the trailers for this movie? Looks hilarious. John C. Reilly also stars.
Love him.
Anne Heche. Looks like a very, very funny film. You can check that out soon. Ed Helms is 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Next hour, we're going to give you a chance to join us in studio for Social Distortion as they perform live later on this week on the Kevin Bean Show. Got 2 live acts coming in on the program.
Whoa. Hang on a sec.
What's happening?
Hold on. I'll be right back.
What?
I don't know what's going on. He's got all kinds of problems.
Oh my God.
Somebody that's he's holding hostage in the other room. I don't
got
know.
Free.
Yeah,
that was weird.
He'll be back though. So this weekend there were playoff football games and they were fantastic. And the Bears played the Packers.
Yes, they did.
And there were 2 different quarterbacks. One was Aaron Rodgers of the Packers, who's this is him talking, and it turns out he's moving on to the Super Bowl.
This is what I dreamt about as a kid growing up in Northern California, watching Joe Montana all those years, and Steve Young when Joe moved on. This is what I always wanted to do, and it's amazing to know that I'll be living out my dream in 2 weeks in Dallas.
And then the Chicago quarterback, not necessarily as happy, nor was anyone else with him, Jay Cutler, because it was weird. I don't know if you watched the game, but he sort of just came out of the game, and when he came out, he wasn't really limping, and nobody could pinpoint a play. They can always show you a replay where the guy got injured.
Mm-hmm.
Always, it seems like. And he just sort of half-limped off the field just before halftime. And then he came out, and he was on the bike a little bit, and then they were started questioning why he was out.
And then there's Jay Cutler, who came out of the game with a knee injury, and when he was seen standing on the sidelines on a knee that wasn't being iced, the blogosphere blew up, the Twitterverse blew up, with players, NFL players, tweeting out, wondering about why Jay Cutler wasn't playing in the game, and came out of this game.
Yeah, it went crazy. And then Deion Sanders was on the NFL post-game show, and he's a blowhard, let's be honest, but he brings out a pretty good point.
Where do I start? First of all, guys, there's reality and perception. The reality, he may have been hurt. The perception is he tapped out. And with everything that's at stake in a playoff game like it is, you go to the Super Bowl, carry me off, man. You got to carry me off that field to get me off that field. No one's going to tell me I'm not going back in whatsoever. And I shouldn't say this on television. Michael, I got everything on my body pretty much shot up inside that locker room with an injection. to go out there and continue to play this game. It was nothing going to stop me.
So then he went on and on and on about how this is unbelievable, how this guy was just sort of standing there. They weren't icing his knee. They weren't doing any rehab. They weren't giving him any shots.
That's pretty bizarre.
And it does seem like there's a long history, like Deion Sanders was saying, of guys being really, really hurt and going and playing with broken noses and broken feet and torn ACLs and everything else. You do what you have to do. And you didn't see the eye of the tiger in Jay Cutler's face, that's for sure. I don't doubt that he was hurt, but I don't doubt that for a bit. But I do think that there are other players who certainly could have gone out and played with the level of pain that Jay Cutler was experiencing.
Most quarterbacks in the NFL, right? Honestly, most quarterbacks.
And I also think that a lot of us are not willing to give Jay Cutler the benefit of the doubt, because that's kind of been the rap on him for a long time, is that he is not a tough guy. I mean, look, even Bears fans have been nervous about this guy.
Right. And rightfully so.
And he certainly did nothing to assuage that yesterday. That's for sure. But anyway, so he's done. The Bears are done. And by the way, thank God for the controversy with Cutler, because otherwise everybody would be screaming about Todd Collins and how he was the worst quarterback in the history of Chicago. He's the guy they put it after Cutler and then immediately removed to go to the third guy.
Oh, wow.
But Jay Cutler seems to get hurt easily, and it's amazing. I guess he's got nothing else to do, because now the game is over and he's off till next year. But he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right
fantastic.
Now. Hey, Jay, how are you, man?
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Tough game, man, especially a team that you have such a rivalry with all year long. You hate to get bumped out by the Packers.
What we got with them?
Rivalry?
No.
With the Packers?
All right.
You hate to get bumped out by those guys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't seem like you cared much.
Great when you, first of all, when you lose, and then when you have to leave a game because you're injured, it makes it twice as painful.
All right, what was the injury? What happened?
My knee got hurt.
Right, but which play?
That one where I was I snapped the ball, right? And then I went back.
That was all of them.
That's all of them.
Yeah,
man.
That one there.
I think what Kevin is saying is they looked on the tape to find the play that may have done you in, and they couldn't really see any particularly tough hits or falls.
Well, you know, the knee's a funny thing. Sometimes you just, if you plan on it wrong or you turn on it wrong, you can really hurt yourself, and that's what happened to me. And sometime in the first half.
Sometime in the first half. You're not sure. Okay, so you came out with 30 seconds to go in the half, and then you go in the locker room. Now, don't you have doctors in there?
They
can wrap it. They can put almost a cast on it. They can shoot it full of steroids.
They did all that. Did everything. No, nothing could help it. It was just such a horrible injury.
Well, did they ice it?
Oh, no. Oh, ice. Someone thought of that.
Well, that's what people were saying, is when you come out in the second half, at least if you want to play, you should be icing it. They should be looking at it. They should be you should be – hello? Are you just taking a sip of
– just drinking coffee.
Okay. So, yeah. It just didn't look
– ow! Oh, it just hit my lip with the cup.
Oh, no.
I'm not sure I can keep doing this interview, guys.
Jay,
Jay. I might have to leave the interview. I'm sorry.
Well,
I just can't.
You're okay for a couple of questions, right?
All right. We'll try to get through it.
Okay.
Ooh.
So why was none of that going on in the second half? Why did it look like no one was trying to even hopefully get you into the game for a second?
Listen, I know my own body. I know when I'm injured. Okay. Ow!
What was that?
What happened?
Damn, I was lifting this coffee cup in my wrist. I think I dislocated my wrist.
I doubt that seriously.
Lifting a coffee cup?
That hurts. I know my own body. Ow!
What was that?
I got a cramp in my eyelid. I was blinking, and now my eyes stuck closed.
That's the loudest cramp I've ever heard.
Oh, damn.
You understand, Jay, why people make it...
Why are you screaming at me? Just burst my eardrum.
We're not screaming.
It's so loud.
Just say a lot of people say that you're making up these injuries, that you're not really hurt. You just don't want to play. You're not a competitor.
I don't think I can continue with this interview anymore, guys. No. I'm going to have go.
You're just talking on the phone. It's not that hard.
What was that?
Oh, my prostate enlarged. Right now, just while I was talking to you.
I don't think that's how it works.
The size of a grapefruit.
I'm not sure that's how it works.
Oh, I got to go ice my taint.
Okay. Okay, on that.
Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. We always look forward to catching up with our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com and TMZ Television. Harvey, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Harvey.
How's the, by the way, I've never asked you this, but the TV show is on everywhere, every city, all across America?
We're just not only all across America, but like Singapore and the Arab Emirates. It's the most bizarre thing. In some cases, it's translated, which to me is absolutely bizarre.
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah.
Me too.
Wow, that's bizarre.
Well, congratulations. I will tell you, and I know I have brought this up before. When you first started TMZ.com, I was one of those who was rolling his eyes going, yeah, that's what we need is another website for celebrities. But you certainly have figured out a way to carve out a niche, and now congratulations on making the TV show so successful, too.
Thank you.
Let's talk about something that happened on Friday that came as a big shock to those of us that are cable news junkies, and that is Keith Olbermann, the most popular, maybe the only name anyone's ever heard of on MSNBC, announces out of the blue at the end of his show on Friday, hey, I'm out of here. This is my last show. What's up with that, Harvey?
Well, we have the lowdown on this.
Okay.
Here's what happened. Comcast, which is taking over NBC, does not like him at all, and that's actually an understatement. They can't stand him. They think he's, you know, they think he's not a company guy. He doesn't play by the rules. He's defied them. He's also been miserable. He's threatened to quit a bunch. So they were going to blow him out. And that was very clear. His agent, 7 weeks ago, Patty Glaser, who negotiated, by the way, Conan's exit deal, she goes in and says, we want more money. Because at the time, Keith was making $7 million a year.
Oh, wow!
And, but. Like O'Reilly makes a lot more than that. And he's the biggest thing on MSNBC. So they went in and said, we want more money. And that was the excuse Comcast had to say, this guy's not getting a penny more. Let's make that really clear. He has 2 years to go in the deal. So they all started talking. And they all realized it's best that Keith just go. So they negotiated an exit. Now we found out, we put it up on the website this morning what it is. He is getting, what I'm told is, substantially in excess of $7 million as a fabulous parting gift. Because he would have made He would have made about $17 million in the last 2 years. He's going to get a lot more than the $7 million that's being reported. He's also only going to be benched for about 4 months. You know, Conan was benched for more than twice that, but they're only going to make him sit out on doing other TV shows for about 4 months, and they're rid of him, and Comcast is happy, and Olbermann's happy.
Huh. I wonder if somebody else will pick him up, because, I mean, I hate him. I think he's a blight on the world. I really do. But I wonder if he's popular enough that somebody will hire him again.
I mean, he is. I mean, look, he's got an audience. I mean, the one thing about Keith is, because, I don't want to start pontificating about TV, but the people who are successful, especially on cable, are people with a really strong point of view. Noah O'Reilly has a strong point of view. Glenn Beck has a strong point of view. So does Keith. It's a different point of view, but it's really strong and clear. And that seems to be what people want, especially on cable. And a lot of these people, on CNN, I don't know what the hell point of view they have, but it's all over the place. But on Keith, whether you like him or hate him, a lot of people will watch him for either.
Yeah, you're right. No, CNN tries to go down the middle, and that's why they're failing so much, because they don't engender any kind of passion with anybody. By the way, one final note on this. It's hilarious to me that 30 Rock is able to make all of those jokes about Cablevision coming in and buying NBC when it's happening in real life. It's almost like they're thumbing their noses at their bosses every single week when they put that show on.
But, you know, I think that was almost the premise of the show, and they've really pushed it, and it's kind of like, you know, I'm sure they must have had discussions at a point. And every time they probably had a discussion about this, Tina Fey said, hey, you know, you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound. That was the whole point of the show. And exactly. She's basically been able to do it.
This is the voice of our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the phone every Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. You put up a great story over the weekend that I had not heard in a while, and that is what goes on at the Octomom's house. Apparently, it is hell to live in her neighborhood, Harvey.
I mean, we had an idea. This was just when we have these morning meetings, and we were throwing ideas out. What do we want to cover? So after we got this fetish video that we ran last week, we just started talking, what would it be like to live next door to Octomom? The neighbors must be, I mean, everybody's had a bad neighbor. Can you imagine living next door to her?
Oh, God, no.
14 children, right?
14 children.
No.
That she has no control over.
Oh,
and she's insane.
What a nightmare.
You heard when we had her on the show, Harvey. You heard that phone call.
Yes.
Where she was, every 30 seconds, she was screaming at a different kid because they were all just running around like crazy. It sounded exactly like what you said, that she had no control over them whatsoever.
Well, we went out there with a camera, and it's everything we thought it was going to be. I mean, the neighbors are ballistic, and they just they're saying that it's the decibel level of these all of these kids screaming. And one of the neighbors had actually recorded it, which you know we had a feeling would happen. It's ear shattering. I mean, it is really it's just unbelievable, and it's constant. It never stops.
Oh.
Property values have gone down. The police are called all the time.
I was going to ask about that. If you call the police for volume, you know, can they write them a ticket? Can they do anything?
There are noise laws in most cities, but they have to measure decibels, and it's especially difficult with kids because, you know, it's one thing to play a stereo really loud, but what are you going to do? You're going to lock up a kid because he cries too much?
Yeah, right.
You know, so there's really not a whole lot they can do, but it was an idea that we had in the newsroom, and it turned out it was even worse in that neighborhood than we thought.
You can just imagine how loud that would be and how just ridiculous, middle of the night. Oh.
I would too.
If you could sell your house, right, without losing your shirt.
And the other thing is, remember, too, it's a cul-de-sac, so it probably almost reverberates.
Oh, my
yes.
God.
Now, Harvey, I did not watch the fetish video. I saw your description of it. A, what goes on it, and B, is this her dipping her toe into the porn waters that she has so vehemently said she will never go to?
You know, she says she's not going to, and everybody in the room was starting to argue with me, saying, no, the fetish video is different than the porn video. I'm thinking it's kind of like, you know, the argument that marijuana is a gateway drug.
Sure.
It can be.
Sure. So this could be a stepping stone.
Right.
What is this tape? What is this?
What's the fetish?
Oh, guys, do
fetish.
I have to?
Well, I don't know.
Just a brief outline.
There's this guy who's a sidekick on a radio show, and he went in a baby bonnet and diapers, and she's in a dominatrix outfit, and she's whipping him. But she's really whipping him. I mean, his back is all red.
Right.
But it's just disturbing.
Yeah.
Wait, this guy was a sidekick on a radio show?
Uh-huh.
How did I not get this gig?
Yeah, no kidding, Mike. That sounds like you.
I don't think you want that gig. That does not sound fun.
All right. I don't know. I don't look. Sexuality is a bizarre thing. There are people who get off on videos like that. I don't get that.
But I think, you know, obviously with her, this is about money right now.
Of course.
This is what everybody said, which is that this was going to not end up with, you know, happy because she's got 14 kids, no particular job skills. She's crazy, and she has to support these kids.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean she doesn't have skills just because she doesn't have job skills.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right?
Good point. Yeah, she's been willing to do everything to raise these kids and make money, except for get a job. That's the one thing she hasn't been able to do yet.
How much does it cost? And I don't know the answer to this. How much does it cost to support 14 kids?
I can't imagine.
A job, who's
what
taking
kind of
care
of
the kids?
Who's going to look after the kids?
That's right.
Exactly.
You don't have 14 kids.
That's why it's perfect. You put them to sleep. And then you go out for 2 hours, you shoot a porn, and you're back. What could be wrong with that idea?
You just leave them in the garage or something in crates. That's what you do. All right, Harvey. Always fascinating. Great website, TMZ.com. Keep up with all the celebrities. We'll talk to you in a week, my friend. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Bye, Harvey.
See ya.
Sarah Palin. Back in the news. This time the National Enquirer is writing about her. Now, before you tune out thinking, yeah, but it's the National Enquirer, they make up stuff all the time. They've got a pretty good track record. If you put them in the category of tabloids, which I think you'd have to, they probably have the best percentage of being accurate with their big stories.
Yeah, I think they were forced to because there were so many lawsuits that they had to learn to really back up their stories. And now, I mean, it's one of the ones I trust more than, you know, most.
They've broken some pretty good stories.
Yeah. Well, they, as an example, Lisa, Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky, that was the Enquirer's work. John Edwards and his mistress, they're now engaged, by the way.
Are they really?
He just waited for his ex-wife to die. Then he got engaged to her about 10 days later. No joke. The National Enquirer's the one who broke that story.
Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman, they called that. Anybody else knew? Yep.
Yep. They've had a lot of stories. And now Sarah Palin, former vice presidential candidate and former governor of Alaska, is in the news. And her husband, Todd, is being accused of participating in a sex scandal with a massage therapist. A massage therapist, a 36-year-old woman who lives up there in Wasalia, Alaska, near the Palins, who, by the way, was busted for running a prostitution ring back in March of last year. And apparently they say that Todd was seen going in and out of that house. Yes, in and out of that house. I want to make sure you understand.
Right.
According to tenants in the building of her offices, they saw Todd come and go often and heard noises that sounded like someone was having sex, said an anonymous email that was sent to media outlets. So the Inquirer follow up, and they are willing to say that she is having an affair with Sarah Palin's husband. So what's up with that?
Well, let's find out. We actually have Sarah Palin on the phone so that we can ask just exactly what's going on. Hi, Sarah.
Well, hello. How are you doing?
We're very good. How are you?
I just couldn't be better. I'm out here in God's green earth, mm-hmm. enjoying all the goodness that the wilderness has to offer,
right.
and just loving Alaska.
Okay, great.
It seems like this would be a tough time of year to be excited about living in Alaska. Isn't it awfully dark and cold, Governor?
It is dark and cold, but at the same time, there's a beauty and a light that just radiates out from the inside of something you shoot.
What are you talking about?
You're saying when you kill something, it just makes your whole life just better.
I see.
I see. All right. Well, let's talk about the former first man of Alaska, Todd Palin. I'm sure you've seen or heard about these articles.
Sure. There's the lamestream media again.
Well,
let me ask. Attack. It's just so sad.
Let me start, Bean, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Sarah, is he still alive?
Well, Todd. Todd's still alive.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Crazy talk from you left-leaning liberals who just have to always try to find problems when there's no problem.
Talk about having a gun.
Okay.
Shooting something, feeling
well,
good.
Well, what about this woman, this massage therapist, this 36-year-old that they name in the article? What about her? Her name is Shaylee Tripp. Do you know anything about her, Miss Palin?
I know nothing about her. This whole story is just so ridiculous.
Well,
and I know, look, Alaska is a great place to go whale watching. So I know people have spotted her from off the coast.
She is rather.
She's a big girl.
She is rather big and rather unattractive.
So why would Todd go out for hamburger when he's got caribou at home?
Well, the other thing I could think is maybe you've been traveling an awful lot. You've been out on the campaign trail for other candidates. You've been promoting your book. You're on Fox News all the time. Maybe it's just you're not home much anymore.
Well, just guess at everything. Why don't you just start making up things that just aren't true?
Maybe the caribou talks too much. Have you thought of that?
You guys are just swinging and missing.
Look,
we're
not the ones.
It's so sad that you have to just create things to make up stories to make people feel and look bad. It's just so sad.
All right, I know you think we're making it up, but she was arrested by the police in Alaska for running a house of prostitution. That did happen.
Well, I'm sure it did.
Okay.
But that's nothing to do with my man, Todd. I know where his bread is buttered, and I got to tell you, it's not an English muffin or a bagel.
Okay.
You lost me there, Governor.
Whoa, what was that?
Oh, what are you shooting at there?
Oh, just taking some target practice. That's all.
Uh-oh.
Is that bad news for Todd?
It's funny how you can shoot at a snowmobile, and it just falls all to pieces.
Wow.
Whoa. Yeah.
Was there someone on the snowmobile?
No, it was just Todd's in the garage there. That won't be racing anytime soon, that's for sure.
Don't shoot his stuff.
Sounds like maybe you believe the story after all.
No,
Governor.
It's just lamestream media. That's all that is.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotcha journalism.
Okay.
And
all right.
Yeah, there's a gotcha for you right there.
What was that?
Oh, just his clothes in a box.
Well, don't. Why do you put his clothes in a box and then shoot him?
Why?
Yes.
Target practice.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, according to the tenants in the building where the woman was, they saw Todd come and go a lot. So.
Sorry, can't hear you.
What was that?
Just shooting at a picture of Todd.
Oh no!
Okay. It sounds like we've called it a bad time.
No, it's fine.
Oh.
Wink, wink. I'm fine. Wink.
All right. Maybe we should let you go and kind of work that out.
That's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello, is he all right?
Sure is.
Was that him?
Yeah.
That was Todd?
For the time being. Oh. He's still alive.
Still alive for the time being.
Yeah.
All right. Good luck to him.
It's very hard to get an accurate shot with this shotgun.
Is it?
He runs fast.
He does. Deny my dear. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:52.
Nirvana on the way, also Phoenix and the latest from Rise Against called Help is on the way. Plus, we'll hook you up for a chance to come in and join us when Social Distortion plays live on the Kevin Bean Show later this. Are you having a stroke? What's going on there, Ralph? You okay?
Well,
yeah, I'm fine.
I just hit my mic
on accident. Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Time for
Sorry
our
being having fun.
No, I'm fine with that. I just was trying to figure out what was going on. That's all. Time for the showbiz beat now.
First.
First, before I get to the showbiz news, I do want to give a hearty congratulations to the lingerie firm Bravissimo. Bravissimo has just announced they are launching their L cup bra size.
Wow.
Dude.
I sort of have a boner.
World's first L cup bra was unveiled yesterday.
L cup.
Bravissimo has announced that they will be available online, but I hope to get into stores soon as well. Up to 40% of women, they say, should be wearing a D cup and above, even when they don't know it. So now they have provided the L size for women who need that extra room.
All right, now I have a boner.
Yeah. Now, for L-size women, currently, you have to go get one made?
I mean, yeah, you'd have to go one custom-made.
Custom-made,
this is the first mass-produced L-cup bra.
All right.
Congratulations, Bravissimo, for doing the Lord's work. L is for Lord. That's what it turns out.
Does it really? Yeah. Well, I didn't know that.
Originally, the bra was going to be called the Trenta, after the Starbucks jumbo-sized coffee, but they decided just to go with L instead. The top 10 movies at the box office this weekend are as follows. We take a look at them every Monday morning. No Strings Attached was number one. Oh, Kevin loved it. Can't get enough of Ashton Kutcher. That's goes to everything
true.
He makes. So
that is not
congratulations.
True. Wasn't bad, though.
The Green Hornet was number two. Dilemma was third. King's Speech came in at number four. True Grit was fifth. Black Swan was sixth. The Fighter was seven. Little Fockers, Yogi Bear, and Tron Legacy rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of movies, the Razzie nominations were released this morning. For those of you who aren't familiar with the Razzies, the Golden Raspberry Award goes to the worst films of the year. Think of it as the anti-Oscar. And it's always more fun to read these nominations than it is the actual Oscars. So let's do so. Worst Picture of the Year. The nominees are The Bounty Hunter. Oh, sweet. Jennifer Aniston and Gerard Butler star in The Bounty Hunter.
Remember, that's the one where he happens to be a bounty hunter and she happens to be on the run and their
ex-husband and wife.
Yes, and then
happens all the time, Kevin.
And then
read a book, why don't you?
He has a special set of skills. He's going to track her down.
Pick up a newspaper. It's a very common occurrence. It's a real problem in these Americas.
I don't think it is, but go ahead.
The Last Airbender was also nominated. Sex and the City 2. Eclipse from the Twilight Saga. Vampires Suck, the parody of the Twilight movies also.
Kevin,
nominated.
You saw that one, right?
I did not. No, I do love everything with vampires, but I didn't see that one.
Worst Actor, Jack Black for Gulliver's Travels, Gerard Butler for The Bounty Hunter, Ashton Kutcher for Killers and Valentine's Day. Congratulations, Ashton. Taylor Lautner for Valentine's Day and Eclipse, Robert Pattinson for Remember Me and Twilight. Worst Actress, Jennifer Aniston for The Bounty Hunter and Switch. She did two sweet performances last year. Miley Cyrus for The Last Song. All four girls from The Sex and the City 2. Megan Fox from Jonah Hex.
How dare they?
Kristen Stewart from Twilight. Worst Supporting Actor, Billy Ray Cyrus for The Spy Next Door. I don't even remember that film.
Me either.
I bet he was bad. George Lopez was in The Spy Next Door. He's also nominated for Worst Supporting Actor, as for his performance in Valentine's Day and Marmaduke.
You sound pretty spot on.
Yeah. Dev Patel for The Last Airbender. Jackson Rathbone for Last Airbender and Twilight Saga Eclipse, and Rob Schneider for Grown Ups. Oh, poor Rob. Worst Supporting Actress, Jessica Alba for The Killer Inside Me, Little Fockers, Machete, and Valentine's
Come
Day.
Come on now.
Wow. They have a point.
She's not a great actress.
For Burlesque, Liza Minnelli for Sex and the City 2, Nicola Peltz for The Last Airbender, Barbara Streisand for Little Fockers. New category this year, worst eye gouging misuse of 3D. The nominees are Cats and Dogs 2, Revenge of Kitty Galore, Clash of the Titans, Last Airbender, Nutcracker 3D, and Saw 3D. And worst screen couple or worst screen ensemble, here are your nominations. Jennifer Aniston and Gerard Butler, Megan Brolin's face and Megan Fox's accent, Jonah Hex, the entire cast of The Last Airbender, entire cast of Sex and the City, entire cast of Twilight. So it goes on and on and on. You can check it out for yourself at Razzies.com, but a very funny stuff. So.
I'm sad that I have not seen any of those movies. It sounds like that's a film festival waiting to happen.
You didn't see him for a reason.
Does Megan Fox have a southern accent in that movie?
Yeah, apparently she does.
Isn't she from Tennessee? Like, how does she not pull that off?
Good question.
She's not a great actress.
How dare you?
She's super hot, though.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right, then.
Yeah.
Kesha is in the news.
Oh, dear God.
Cat $ha. Claims that she doesn't know the identity of her father for some time now. She's been saying in interviews she has no idea.
If you were her dad, would you come out and admit to it?
Father is. Well, here's the thing. Her dad's like, hey, nice. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Over here.
Oh, really?
Bob Chamberlain has stepped up and said, you know what? I've known her whole life.
Yeah.
We've been in constant contact from birth until she was 19 years old. Now, true, we haven't spoken in the past 4 years, but that was her choice. She ended their relationship. I don't know why she's saying she has no idea who her father is, because I was her father for the first 19 years of her life before she cut me out of it.
Does she think it makes her more interesting?
Yeah,
to be this mysterious orphan or something?
She doesn't know who her dad is. She grew up on the street. She brushes her teeth with Jack Daniels. She woke up on a pool table.
Dude, I'm going to tell you again.
With a billiard ball someplace. In the side pocket.
If I'm her dad, I am not admitting to that. Especially after the last 4 years.
Yeah, I suppose.
Come on.
Did you go to high school with anybody famous?
No.
Me neither. Cameron Diaz did. She said she used to pal around with Snoop Dogg when they were in high school together. Went to the same high school in Long Beach, California.
How funny.
Can you imagine Snoop as a high schooler? He would have been the coolest.
Yeah, apparently he was, but Cameron says she used to buy her pot from him.
All right.
How dare you speak like that, Cameron Diaz? You're going to give people the impression that Snoop Dogg and weed have something to do with each other. That is unfair. And speaking of drugs, this is a great story. Adam Jasinski won $500,000 on CBS's Big Brother in 2009. Okay. Well, last week he was sentenced to 4 years in prison because he used the money to start a drug ring.
Oh, man.
Well, yeah. You have to grow it. You have to grow the money. You can't just let it sit there.
That's true. You got to take money to make money, right, man. That's what it takes. So apparently he is being kept under constant surveillance, and he's locked up with unpleasant people, much like the Big Brother. So he's very used to that. Prison should be a problem for him at all. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ernest Borgnine is 94 years old today. Singer Neil Diamond celebrates his 70th birthday. Matthew Lillard celebrates his 41st. Ed Helms turns 36 today. Tatiana Ali from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is 32. And Misha Barton from The O.C. is 25. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. If you'd like to be in studio later this week when Social D comes in to perform, we're going to take your trivia questions for Stump Rodney. Now, Rodney, of course, a legendary DJ here at the radio station. He knows everything that there is to know about every band. He's got an encyclopedic knowledge. But if you can stump him with some trivia about Social D, you can come down to the studio and they're performing live later this week.
Wow.
So call now.
All right, so you have to have a question and you have to know the answer. So
how many people are we inviting down here?
Just one pair.
We're one pair?
Yes.
Wow.
Two whole people.
Wow.
1-800-520.
That's a tough ticket.
1067. Call now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 6 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Very special week on the Kevin Bean Show. Lots of great guests ahead, including live music in studio from Cage the Elephant. They have a terrific new album out, as does Social Distortion, by the way. And they're going to be joining us on Thursday, performing live. You can join us to be up close and personal to watch that performance if you can. Stump Rodney.
Yeah, wig wham bam.
All right, Rodney on the Rock Show. All right, thanks for calling. You win.
Nope.
All right. We haven't taken any calls yet. Now, right. Rodney Bingenheimer, for folks who don't
recognize Rodney Bingenheimer's show, thanks for calling. We're going to play some music.
Right.
And then,
let us handle this part first, though, Rodney, and then we're going to go to
Halloween,
the phone calls.
Everybody.
Here.
It's not Halloween. No,
it's January. There's no razors in your apples.
January.
Right, it's January, though. Yeah. We're not doing Halloween. Rodney Bingenheimer, the mayor of the Sunset Strip, they made a movie about your life. You are a legendary tastemaker in the city of Los Angeles. You broke dozens of bands back in the 70s and 80s. I mean, you're the guy who kind of invented punk rock and new wave, right, Rodney?
I love the 80s.
Right.
I know you do.
How about the
90s?
Hate the 90s. Hate the 90s, right. Now, Social
About the 2000s.
Social D, that's a band you go way back with. You're friendly with those guys as well,
right? All right, Social D.
Right.
Yeah.
You know them.
Sure.
Okay, good. And do you know a lot about them?
Yeah, they were Joe Boxers.
What?
No, that was
a different.
That was Just Got Lucky. That was a totally different band. We're talking about Social Distortion, is the band we're talking
about. All right. Yeah, Social.
Okay. So pay attention here, Roddy. What we'd like to do is we want to go to the phones. We've got Social Distortion fans on the line. They're going to ask you a trivia question only about the band Social Distortion.
Oh,
it's not
going right.
to. It's not going to be about Cyndi Lauper. It's not going to be about Taco.
Adam and the Ants.
Nope. That's what I'm saying. It's
all
just
right.
going to be social. I'm trying to help you out here.
Fine, young they cannibals.
They have a question about Social Distortion, and they're going to try to stump you. If they do, they go into the drawing to join us Thursday for an acoustic in studio performance. Okay.
All right, Roddy on the Rock Show. Thanks
it's
for
not,
tuning in.
All right, listen. Let's start with Anthony.
Next.
Let's
Brian Wilson's stopping by.
That's not going to happen.
Talk about sand.
That's not going to happen. let's start with Anthony. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hi.
Can you stump Rodney on a Social D trivia question?
All right.
I'm almost positive I can.
Good luck.
All right, so Rodney, who was Mike Ness's famous girlfriend from the early 90s?
Pat Benatar. All right.
Was it Benatar. Pat Benatar, Anthony?
Not correct.
Paula Abdul.
Yes, it was Paula Abdul.
All right.
Mike Ness and Paula Abdul. It makes perfect sense.
All right. Terry Nunn.
It was actually Dita Von Teese.
All right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
The Bangles.
You're in the drawing. Hold on.
What are you talking?
He just told
the
you. He just.
Belinda Carlisle.
He just gave you the answer.
He gave you the answer. It was Dita Von Teese.
Easton.
All right.
Okay. Rodney, let's try Valerie. Valerie is on line three.
Grady Politti.
I'm just going to try to stump Rodney with Social Distortion trivia.
All
Hi,
right,
Valerie.
I
you're
win.
On the air. Go ahead.
What do I win?
Hi, guys.
You don't win anything.
All
you're just,
right.
You're just supposed to answer the question Ooh. That Valerie's going to pose to you.
Oh, Valerie is the name of a monkey song.
All right. Valerie, what's your question?
What city is Mike Ness from?
Berlin. He's from Berlin.
All is right. he from Berlin, Sex, Valerie?
Yeah.
No, he's from Fullerton.
Fullerton. Metro.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
You're in the drawing. Thank you very much.
I'm in the drawing. All
not
right.
You,
no,
Valerie.
Not you, Valerie. Valerie's in
Godhead
there.
To be
All
in
right.
the
let's
drawing.
Try,
All right.
Let's try Carol, line five. Carol, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. You're on with Rodney Bingenheimer. Stump Rodney. Good luck.
What was the name of the movie they participated in the
80s? Spandau Ballet.
Was the name of All the movie right. that he participated in Spandau Ballet?
All right.
No.
No.
What was it?
It was Another State of Mind.
All right. Thank you for the call. Hold on.
So, Rodney, you didn't know that, so she goes in the drawing. You
and
see how it works now?
3D.
You haven't gotten one of these right yet.
Yeah, this is all right. I'm on the drawing.
Odd.
All right.
Let's try
Big Country.
Six. Let's try line six now on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right. Neil, hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Which founding members of another Orange County punk band started Social Distortion?
The Plimsolls.
Was it the Plimsolls?
All right.
No. That
Pet
was,
Shop
that
Boys.
Was it the Pet Shop Boys?
Pet Shop Boys. Fun no, Boy 3.
Was it Fun Boy 3?
Bow Wow Wow.
Was it on, Bow
Rodney.
Wow Wow?
Bronski Beat.
Was it Bronski Beat?
Dream Academy.
Was it Dream Academy?
Human League.
Was it Human League?
The Pixies.
That would be Adolescence.
Crowded House.
Everybody but. It's Adolescence.
New Order.
No, Adolescence.
Okay, they've answered that one
New
already.
New Music.
Rodney. He just said what the answer was.
Gary Newman.
All right, you hold
Rodney,
on.
Are you familiar with Social Distortion at all? Do you know who we're talking about here?
Big Audio Dynamite.
All right. Why don't we try, let's try Matt. This is a weird question. He's on line four on the Kevin
All
Beecher.
Right.
Hi, Matt. Thanks
hey,
for calling. You're on with Rodney.
What's up, Lisa May? What's up, Psycho Mike?
Hey, Matt.
Stop Rodney.
Bye. So how old was Mike Ness when he started Social Distortion?
Haircut 100.
Was he
That's
haircut 100?
That's not an age, Rodney.
He 52s.
52, all right.
He was 17.
17.
Kate Bush.
That's not an age. He asked how old was. That's how this question began, Rodney.
All right, let's
King
do
Cobra.
One. Okay. Let's do another one on line seven, please. Let's try Troy. Now, here's one I don't know the answer to. I'm fascinated to see if you know it, Rodney. Hi, Troy. Go ahead.
All right. Who named Social Distortion?
Rick Astley.
Was it Rick Astley?
Rodney, are you even listening to what you're saying? Do you really right. think that Rick Astley named Social
yeah.
Distortion?
Never going to give you up. Never going to Social D.
Was it Rick Astley?
No, it was not. It was Casey Royer, their first drummer, who was also the singer of D.I., and he was the Adolescence drummer as well.
There you go.
Casey in the Sunshine Band.
No.
Yeah, he was in
Why do
band
you keep
too.
Answering after he already gives you the answer?
Howard Jones.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
One more. This is going to be Kevin, line one, with the final question to try to stump Rodney and go in the drawing to see them live this week on the Kevin Beecher. Hi, Kevin. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, what was Mike Ness's job before he got his record contract?
What was his job before he got his record contract?
So the answer is a job now, Rodney, not the name of a '80s band.
Job. Mike Ness's job.
Before what work did he do before
he was in the band? He had a job.
Job. Elvis Costello.
That's not a job. Yeah,
you're
it's
not listening. You're not paying attention.
Elvis Costello is not a job.
The Clash.
Kevin, was his job being Elvis Costello?
No.
What was it?
What was it?
He was a house painter.
Echo and the Bunnymen.
Okay. Why do you keep guessing? He said he was a house painter.
All right. All right. Escape Club.
So Kevin and Anthony and Valerie, Matt, Carol, Neil, and Troy all in the drawing.
And Kraftwerk
is going to be here on Thursday to see the band play live in studio.
The winner's Anthony.
Yay!
All right.
Anthony, congratulations.
Annie
Thank
Lennox.
Thank you very much.
No, what?
Congratulations to Annie Lennox.
No, Anthony.
Oh,
Anthony.
Sorry. I thought it was Cyndi Lauper.
Thank you for playing Stone. 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 23 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Sal Masekela joins us to talk about the Winter X Games later on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, we're going to talk about celebrity personal assistants. Now, this is an interesting job. And a lot of people get into it, don't they, Ralph, because they just want to be around famous people. I mean, that's the draw for some people, right?
And sometimes they see it as an entree into their own career, whatever they're looking to do, acting, singing, songwriting. They think if they can get in good with someone who's high-powered in that profession, it may open a few doors for them in their own right.
And I understand that the celebrity assistant, I mean, the job is, that's a catch-all name for what you do, but some people just do a certain amount of things. Some people do everything for the celebrity, right? I mean, it runs the gamut. You know, some people are, you know, picking up dry cleaning and some people are reading lines with the actor. It all depends on which person you're working with, right?
Yeah, it could be something as simple as just office administration where you just answer phones and take messages and, you know, send out mail and that kind of thing, up to very intimate personal items. For example, the Khloe Kardashian's personal assistant famously said after the fact that she had to buy sex toys for Khloe. She had to go to like the sex boutiques and pick up the toys and vibrators and whatnot.
I'm
for
sorry,
her.
Do you have an extra, extra large?
Britney Spears' personal assistants. It said recently in Us Weekly magazine, they did a story on personal assistants, that hers are basically paid friends because Britney doesn't really have any.
That's sad.
So you have to play like Ouija board with her and you have to hang out and she walks around in the nude and you have to pretend not to notice. And sometimes they'll sleep in the same bed. She'll want to like snuggle with somebody. So she'll bring one of her assistants into bed, which would be awkward, I think.
Yes.
A lot of celebrities use the personal assistants for fast food runs because they're either supposed to be on diets or they don't want to be seen by the paparazzi getting a burger and
fries.
Makes sense,
especially if you have a weight problem.
So they send them off. And then the upside is, for example, Mariah Carey's personal assistants. Apparently she is very demanding, but she's also very generous when it comes to treating her personal assistants to things like, in the story they listed, trips, expensive jewelry, all kinds of perks came along with being Mariah's assistant. If you lasted with her, you were able to, you know, get all expense paid vacations and stuff like that.
Wow.
So there's an upside sometimes to being a personal assistant as well. But I can imagine the great majority of people who work for these high-powered celebrities, given their insecurities and their tendencies to be coddled and sort of them being used to getting everything their own way.
Sure.
It would be brutal, I think, to be a personal assistant.
I imagine that it could be, but every once in a while I'll see a documentary. Like I saw the Joan Rivers documentary recently. And she's had the same core group of people who have been working around her for decades. I mean, the same people who have been just managing her life, arranging her flights and her cars and her, you know, like you said, her correspondence and making sure she gets to where she wants to be and whatnot. And I guess if it's the right fit, the right type of person with the right celebrity, it could be a very mutually beneficial relationship that could be good for both people.
Last night on Family Guy, Brian the dog wrote a best-selling self-help book. And Stewie became his personal assistant.
And had to book, like, book signings and stuff like that.
Exactly. Booked him on Bill Maher. And they had a live-action Bill Maher show with Brian sitting in the seat. It was very funny last night. But I just thought of this topic, regarding this topic last night, because they're walking out of a restaurant, and Renee Zellweger is in the restaurant. She looks like an anteater, by the way. Her tongue goes out, and she zaps, and she picks up a bug and eats it. And she goes, and so Brian says, Stewie, do you realize what was wrong there? And he's like, no, what, Brian? I was in the back room of that restaurant, and I walk out and see Renee Zellweger in the front room. How do you think that makes me feel?
Man,
and
it's
those kind of screaming fits. You know, he leaves Stewie on the side of the street. He takes the limo off, and Stewie gets stabbed by someone in New York because he has no money for a cab. It's just, I can imagine that once you get used to being catered to and having your every whim and desire sort of you know, taken care of for you. People can get very demanding, and there's a lot of horror stories.
It seems like it would depend entirely on the celebrity. Some celebrities would be great to work for. Sure. Like, you know, people come to mind like Tom Hanks. You would love to be his, because it seems like he would be cool. And
I agree. Yeah, but I think
then there's the other side.
The coolest celebrities probably do a lot of stuff for themselves and don't use a personal assistant for all that much. You know, it seems to me like the Barbara Streisand's, where you hear she has to have white flowers in this room with a white couch, and everything has to be in white, and you know, the M&Ms have to be sorted a certain way. All that kind of stuff, I think, happens with people who really lean on their personal assistants and really work them hard.
All right, so we're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. We understand confidentiality. We understand a lot of you probably have signed paper. Work. You don't have to tell us who you are. You're going to have to allow us to guess who the celebrity is, although you don't have to tell us that either. But
right. What
weird, strange things were you asked to do as part of your job as a celebrity assistant?
In this town, there's got to be a ton of people, right? Even if it's not a celebrity assistant, because some of the assistants are hired by studio heads, and, you know, there's high-powered people that you may not necessarily know their names, but they have some of the most demanding personal attitude.
Also, you know? At the end of the movies, you always see personal assistant too.
Right,
they always have an assistant at least for that movie.
And usually it's the director and a couple of the stars, and everyone has listed as having an assistant. So I can imagine there's some real horror stories.
And I just would be interested in what that life is like. I mean, depending on who you're working for, is it a 24/7 job where you're constantly on call, or do you just show up for a certain amount of time on certain days and do your work? And what kinds of things are you asked to do? So you can remain as anonymous as you need to, either for you or your celebrity. But we do want to hear a little bit about what it's like to be a celebrity personal assistant. Here's the toll-free number, 1-800-520-1067. Give us a call, and we will talk to you right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q and 737.
That's the show that needs to be on the air.
That one right there.
Yeah. Nope. All right. We're going to go to your calls here in a moment at 1-800-520-1067. DC, Amy, Rebecca, please hold on. We're going to get right to you. You're talking about celebrity personal assistants. By the way, they have, I don't know if it's a union, but it's the Association of Celebrity Personal Assistants. It says that on average, celebrity personal assistants work between 6 and 16 hours a day. The average is 10. They report for duty 5 to 6 days a week normally, 7 days a week at special times. There's a lot of travel. The standard Hollywood assistant is 38 years old. 81% are female.
38?
71% get medical insurance, but not dental coverage. So
thank God we covered the dental coverage issue. That's what I was concerned about.
I'm just saying, in case you're wondering what the perks are of being a dental assistant, by the way, and apparently the salary ranges a great deal from $30,000 to $100,000, and the average is somewhere in the middle.
Maybe it depends on how much effed up stuff they ask you to do. They have to pay you a lot more.
All right, look, I'll give you another $10,000 if you milk my cat.
Let's talk to Amy, line two, to get us started. Everybody, please hold on. We are going to get to your calls. Thank you for hanging on, Amy. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. You were a personal assistant.
Yep, for about 2 years.
Are you allowed to tell us who for?
No, I can't.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you say what type of work they did?
Yep, they were a TV producer.
TV producer.
A TV producer.
Okay.
All right.
And what was interesting about that job?
You couldn't say anything to her before 12 o'clock.
Ooh, it's a her. It's a her. Her. She said it's a her.
Shonda Rhimes.
there could be no good morning or anything if you're there at like 6 or 7 and she was totally awake. There was no saying anything before noon. And she would drink a 12-pack of Diet Coke every day and only eat like cheese sticks, tuna, and lettuce.
Wow.
No engaging before noon.
So if it's 11 a.m. and you say...
And you're looking her right in the eye, you can't say anything.
Hey, something like that. She'd go, no, it's not noon.
No, yeah, not new. I've had things thrown at me. I've had doors slammed in my face.
Wow.
Yeah, I learned really quick.
Oh,
now,
man.
Now, were you the kind of assistant that Ralph was talking about who did mostly office work, or did you have to get involved in a lot of personal things, too, picking up dry cleaning, taking the kids to school, that sort of thing?
It started out as just office work, and then I was doing travel arrangements, and then I was making her tuna and cheese stick breakfast.
And then you were giving her a bath.
Too close.
Brushing her teeth while she slept.
Did you enjoy the work, or no? That's why you left after 2 years.
No, that's why I left after 2 years. After I got hit with something, that's when I was like, all right, I'm out.
You got hit with something. Yeah, that seems like a negative.
Thank you very much for the call.
Break employment.
Let's try DC line one. DC, welcome to the Kevin Beach Show. Talking about celebrity personal assistants. Go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
So I used to work for a band.
Okay.
And it started off where it was mostly just kind of office stuff, and then ended up having to do a lot of personal things. you know, they have the usual kind of crap where they have to have coat throw at every show, and they want a bottle of Jack backstage.
Right, all the riders and their contracts.
Was it a well-known band, somebody that you traveled with?
They had a lot of airplay on the station and KITS up north.
Okay.
We've played them.
Right.
So let's just say...
Dramarama.
It was less than Semi-Charmed, and I wouldn't want to see how it's going to be if I didn't jump
on the thing. Oh, Third Eye Blind.
Sure can't how figure it out that? From those clues.
You're smooth.
Did
you get to do or did you have to do anything that was interesting or anything you didn't enjoy while you worked for them?
There were a few times on tour when I was supposed to go out and find them a stash.
Yeah.
Find a mustache? You had to find a guy who had a mustache?
That's weird.
A stash. He's talking about scoring drugs.
Oh, I would think that would be for all bands.
Wouldn't you guys think
that that would be an assistant for all bands? That would be their job.
What do you think they would have them, though? They would have the drugs on hand. I wouldn't have to send a guy out in Seattle while we're there on tour to go get some.
When they're flying, though, they don't want to carry that stuff. They still have to go through some security.
No, that's true. They don't want to be carrying anything.
So you have to keister it.
So they had to fly, and I did all the driving with their crap in the back of a van or truck.
They had
me do all the searching.
I got you.
But that seems like you're really setting yourself up to potentially be arrested for buying drugs, though.
Yeah, that's why I also quit after about a year and a half.
That could be a negative.
Wait, DC, did you have like set up connections in these cities, or did you have to actually go out on the streets?
I had to actually go and score. Work the crowd.
Oh my god! Wait! You had to work the crowd at the shows.
Yeah.
Okay, because I pictured you like downtown at midnight, you know, in the seedy part of town.
Luckily, I got to go to most of the natural areas.
Okay.
Last question for you, DC. When you were with Third Eye Blind,
allegedly,
was it at the time that Stephen Jenkins was dating Charlize Theron?
It was not. This was...
During the time
when they really didn't have crap, and I basically quit right before they came out their last album.
Gotcha. That's a good choice. All right, DC.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. Let's try Melissa, line two. Melissa used to work for, ladies and gentlemen, Paula Abdul.
Allegedly.
We're allowed to say that, Paula Abdul?
Hey, Melissa.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Tell us about working for Crazy Paula.
One particular morning, me and another assistant couldn't get a phone number fast enough and got the shakedown, like, physically shooken by her and hot tea thrown.
Hot tea thrown?
Oh, no.
She shook you like, why can't you find the number?
Pretty much.
I'm a gift.
Yes, we heard that several times.
She's as crazy
really?
As she looks, isn't
I'm
she?
I'm a gift. Oh, you need to treat me like the gift that I am.
Yeah.
I'm a light that shines down on you was my favorite.
Oh my God.
Allegedly.
Here's a clip from her show.
Tired of people not treating me like the gift that I am.
Come on.
She is a gift.
Wow, you had to quit that with prejudice. Can you do that? Can you quit with prejudice? Can you say, I quit, and I hate you.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Melissa. Let's go to Rebecca, line three. Hi, Rebecca. Thanks a lot for holding on to the Kevin Bean Show, talking about celebrity personal assistants. How about you?
Good morning.
Can you tell us who?
There were two guys who were writing, producing partners.
Coen Brothers.
Jimmy Kimmel and Adam Carolla.
Writer, producer, not director.
Writer, producers.
Two guys.
Movies.
Coen.
The Coen Brothers. Directors.
I already said that.
Writer, producers.
Two guys.
Would we think of it?
No.
We wouldn't.
Okay. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
So one of them came in. I guess he was having issues, and he came in and brought a stool sample that he wanted me to bring to the lab.
Oh.
And you're not talking like an ottoman or something, are you?
And then the other one passed a gallstone and brought it in a Ziploc baggie, and he wanted me to bring that to the lab.
Wow.
Damn.
But you know what? In all honesty, if I had somebody to take my poo into the lab, I would use that, wouldn't you?
No.
Because it's embarrassing.
I'm too embarrassed
to do that.
But you
have to point, I have to say I have a college degree.
Right.
And this is a little demeaning.
I'm not carrying your stool.
Got a master's degree in poop.
Can't do it.
Wow.
So was that the deal breaker? Is that how you ended up leaving their employee?
The deal breaker.
Sid and Marty Croft?
I had to go.
Sid and Marty Croft.
No?
Good guess, Kevin. Thank you, Rebecca.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 7:52.
Actor Jason Statham joins us later this week on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, I do. I'll join you, and then I'll kill you because I'm a mechanic.
Also, fresh off his deathbed, Dr. Drew is going to be on the program. Rich Eisen from the NFL Network. We got live music from Social D and Cage the Elephant. And tomorrow, the hosts of Attack of the Show, Kevin and Candace, are going to be here from G4. So that's all coming up this week on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's happening?
Because it's Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office to see what people are going to the theaters to see. And No Strings Attached was the big winner this weekend. Made a little over $20 million in its debut. Good enough to make it number one at the box office. The Green Hornet came in at number two. Then The Dilemma, The King's Speech, and True Grit ran out your top five. Black Swan, The Fighter, Little Fockers, Yogi Bear, and Tron Legacy were the 5 through 10 or 6 through 10 numbers at the box office this weekend.
Kevin doesn't miss an Ashton Kutcher movie, much like he used to see all those Hey Vern movies when that dude was still alive.
He will not pass up the Kutch. He will not pass up the Kutch.
He is a red flag for me, Ashton Kutcher.
Race to the theaters to see No Strings Attached.
But Natalie Portman might be the perfect woman. So
she is lovely and talented.
And hot.
Yes.
And funny.
Yes, all those things.
So she trumps Ashton.
And yet he somehow agrees to make a movie with Ashton Kutcher, so maybe she's not perfect.
He wasn't bad. He was pretty good. I'll go so far as to say he was pretty good. And I don't like him, but he was pretty good.
There's just no way that's possible, Kevin. I'm sorry.
Go see the movie.
It defies the laws of nature.
I know. I agree.
If Natalie Portman's inside a burning building, as much as I love Natalie Portman, I'm not running into a burning building.
But I am. That's the difference between you and
me. Yeah, well, then you deserve to get your ass burnt.
Oh.
Speaking of movies, did you check out Ebert at the Movies last night? His new movie review show on PBS?
I didn't.
I had to tune in, and sadly, and yet blissfully.
Wait, this is the dude without the jaw?
Roger Ebert is a famous movie critic who legendarily sort of pioneered the TV show, the movie critic TV show, where he and Gene Siskel would sit across from each other and review the week's movies. And it started out called Coming Soon or something like that, then it became At the Movies, but they invented Thumb Up and Thumb Down. I mean, the famous guys, they were the first team on television to do televised movie reviews. Really.
Right.
And then Gene Siskel died, and Roger got thyroid cancer, I believe. Anyway, they had to remove a majority of his jaw, and he doesn't really speak anymore.
So that he takes decided it out
time
of the
for
TV
me to
realm.
Get back into TV business, because I have a half a head. So he's got a new show
does
now.
Does he give it a half a head up or a half a head down?
He does. So he's got a new show called Ebert Presents At the Movies, and it's a misnomer, really, because he apparently is just the producer of the thing.
Oh.
But they kept promising he was going to be on.
Was he on?
Just for a brief moment. It was blissfully Ebert-free.
Oh, but isn't that... Why else would you go to that show?
So he writes a review. He has a segment called Roger's Office or something where he writes the review of a show.
Right.
But last night he had someone else read it.
Okay.
And the person he chose was aging, incomprehensible German director Werner Herzog.
Oh, my gosh.
Who barely speaks English. So if you got a guy who can't speak English, why do you ask a guy who can barely speak English to read your review for you?
How does anyone put this show on?
This is Werner Herzog speaking for Roger Ebert.
Every step of the way, this is a bad idea.
But the good news is the two critics who are hosting the show now are incomprehensibly stiff and awkward and hard to watch on television. So
now, I've only heard one name mentioned, and it was a guy I wasn't familiar with, some movie blogger with a foreign name.
Yes.
Ignatsky Stravatsky-Tilatibatushkiska. This is what everybody's been waiting for.
And who's here? His co-host?
Some broad from the Associated Press, I guess, who is a movie reviewer.
Okay.
And boy, did they seem uncomfortable in front of a TV camera.
That show seems unnecessary.
It was. Yeah. At this age, really? Do you need to go to PBS to watch people talking about movie reviews?
Honestly.
It was almost unwatchable.
I don't listen to reviewers anyway, for the most part.
But really,
that's evident.
But he can't talk. And then he hired somebody else who can't talk to read it.
Right. And then the real show is hosted by two people who are really awkward in front of the camera and not all that entertaining to watch. So as a TV show, it's a failure on almost every level.
Wow.
Hmm.
Is it in focus?
Yes. Okay. It does have that.
And the cameraman is doing good work.
Good sound quality. Right. So it's got that.
At least it's on PBS, so all of us will see it anyway.
That's right. We can all ignore it together. Sad news this week. Jack LaLanne, legendary fitness guru and TV star, has passed away from pneumonia at the age of 96 years old.
See, you don't work out, people. That's the message.
The Jack LaLanne Show was on television for 34 years.
That was him leading people through exercises?
It started off, if you ever watch the early shows, it's him
standing in a jumpsuit in his living room with a chair. And he would just say, okay, now we grab this chair and we're going to push up and down on it and we're going to lift our legs and we're going to work out.
Why was he in a jumpsuit?
Because that was what he worked out in.
But why?
He was the Hillary Clinton of his day.
Has anyone else ever worked out in jumpsuit?
I don't know. He looked good on television.
This thing. All right.
Now that Mr. Lilleen is gone, am I the buffest old guy in America? Do I now get the crown?
Probably.
No.
Okay. It's hard to think of anyone.
Stephen Hawking's in better shape than you are.
Probably.
Jack, of course, had the legendary power juicer on TV. That's how he made most of his money, with his famous TV infomercial for juicing.
Sure.
He was a juicer. He was.
Juicer.
Mike, not that kind of juice.
A juicer before that kind of juicing.
Your crowd is a different kind of juicer when you do your juice. I thought this was a great story. A kid was walking through the woods.
That's a joke?
To grandma's house?
No. He was walking through the woods.
All right.
And he was surrounded by a pack of hungry wolves.
Okay.
So in order to chase the wolves away, he unplugged the earbuds to his iPod.
Right.
And cranked it up as loud as he could.
Uh-huh.
And the wolves all ran away.
What was the song?
He was playing Creed.
Yay!
Creed, he said, drove the wolves away.
It was probably the first song he picked, too, because he was like, what song would drive
What would drive a starving animal, even as hungry as they are? What would it make them run for the opposite direction?
Yep, Creed.
Yeah, Creed. I'm going to dial up some Creed.
It was the first time he wasn't embarrassed to tell people that he had Creed on his iPod.
Saved his life, so. Mm.
I was trying to figure out why he had Creed on his iPod. Right, that was the confusing thing to me.
Different question.
Wolves should have eaten him if he was listening to Creed. He deserved to be wolf fodder.
We forget now, by the way, but they sold tens of millions of albums.
Yeah, that
was so popular.
That one album, they sold 20 million, but that was before iTunes, and you could download, song by song.
That's where you could find any other music.
Right, that's never the only choice.
Yeah. And Skins is in big trouble over at MTV. Skins,
uh-oh.
Of course, that is the very titillating TV show on MTV about the adventures of some troubled teenagers who do a lot of drugs and have a lot of sex. And all the kids are actually teenagers. They're underage, majority of the cast. And so it's got people up in arms. Yeah, that these kids are, portraying acts of sexuality while being underage. Some people are calling it child pornography.
I was watching MTV when it came on, and they have that warning at the beginning that says, this is rated TV-MA. And I was like, MTV? Mature rating?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Parents Television Council is screaming about it, as you can imagine, as they do most things. But since it aired last week, in the 5 days since it aired, three major advertisers have dropped from the show. Taco Bell, General Motors.
How's Taco Bell going to make money off of that?
Well, they're not. They dropped out on Thursday, General Motors on Friday, and then Wrigley chewing gum on Saturday. So,
if anything kills the show, that's what it's going to be, is if MTV can't get sponsors and make money off of it, they won't air it anymore. But so far, they seem to be digging in their boots, saying, hey, this is an appropriate show for us to have on our network.
Dave loves it. Dave loves Skins.
Dave loves it too much.
He loves Skins.
We're talking about that next.
He loves Skins.
Yes, he does.
You know why? Because he thought it was a story about a bunch of uncircumcised guys like himself. That's why he thought it was a show for his people.
He could
watch it and feel like he belonged. It turns out it was about something else. Today's celebrity birthdays. Misha Barton of the OC is 25 years old today.
She could eat.
No, she couldn't. She should stop eating.
Oh, she fat now?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Titania Ali from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Excuse me, Tatiana Ali from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is 32. Ed Helms, very, very funny man from The Office and from Hangover. And he's got a new movie coming out called Cedar Rapids. I saw the trailers for this weekend. Looks hilarious.
He's good at everything.
He's very talented. Matthew Lillard is 41. Neil Diamond, legendary singer-songwriter, is 70. And Ernest Borgnine. That name may not be familiar to you. That's all I'm saying. But he's 94 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
How psyched are you for the Pro Bowl next weekend, Kevin? I know this is the one event you look forward to.
Oh, wait, I don't care.
Yeah, we got two. I still hate the 2 weeks between the playoffs and the Super Bowl. Still hate it so much. But a very exciting game of football yesterday. A lot of controversy, a lot of interceptions. There were some close games. There were some injuries. Had everything you were looking for in two big games. And we thought we'd catch up with our friend Andrew Siciliano, host of the DirecTV Red Zone, who joins us on the show on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. How are you, man?
Good morning, guys. I just got up, and I have the sexy voice time for you.
Ooh, yeah. Nice.
It's not what we come to you for, my man.
Yeah.
I was surprised yesterday in hearing all of the recapping of the games that, A, Pittsburgh is now going to the Super Bowl for the third time in 6 years, first of all, which is crazy. And second of all, that this is the 10th
year in a row that the NFC has sent a different team to the Super Bowl. That's unbelievable parody in a sport.
It's ridiculous parody, and it even makes you scratch your head more when you look at the fact that come March 4th, we're likely going to have a lockout. Regardless of what happens in the Super Bowl, regardless of who wins, it would take a freaking miracle for the two sides to get a deal done before March 4th. So a sport that is seemingly healthy, and where you, even though you have big time owners like Jerry Jones in Dallas, whose new building we're going to see, or Daniel Snyder in Washington, owners that spend money, still they will pass the money around and anybody can win in this league. I mean, look, you're going to have Pittsburgh and Green Bay in the Super Bowl that are considered for the most part to be smaller market towns and right. teams, I mean, especially right. Green Bay. And this is one of the most historic matchups we've ever seen. No one's talking about bad ratings because you don't have New York or L.A. or Boston or Philly in the game. You mm-hmm. have small market teams with parity that have made this game, and those ticket prices are going to go through the roof.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that there's so much money to be made in the NFL, yet somehow they're going to figure out a way to shoot themselves in the foot and piss off the fans by allowing there to be some sort of a work stoppage the way it's looking.
Does that mean there's going to be no next season? I mean, is that likely?
Not yet. Listen, there is going to be a lockout. The guarantee. Come March 4th, the owners will say, we are at a labor impasse. Don't come to work. But there's no work to go to March 4th.
Right. I was
going
to say, there's nothing going on. Right.
So it doesn't matter what happens March 4th. In the grand scheme of things, what only matters is what happens in those 6 months between March 4th and, say, Labor Day.
Right.
And come Labor Day, can they get a deal done? And when they do get a deal done, hopefully they will, I'm certain they will, is how close to Labor Day will it be? And then how much time do the teams have to get ready for the season? And do you miss a week? Do you miss the entire preseason? Can they get it done in June, hypothetically? Then everybody reports to work on time. It's just a question of how fast they get it done.
I don't think this will happen with the NFL, but I do remember when the NHL had a lockout, and they got taken off TV, and then they put poker on in its place, and poker destroyed it in the ratings, and hockey's never been able to get back to that.
And when you say get back, you mean get back on TV?
Well, I mean, to the stations that they were on, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, they have trouble getting on TV because poker gets higher ratings.
Yeah, the NFL doesn't have to worry about that. They're brand is secure. All right, let's talk a little bit about yesterday, Andrew. And again, we appreciate you getting on after you just woke up because I know you haven't had a chance to prepare. But I do know you were also watching the games yesterday. And you were one of the few voices in the Twitter sphere and on the blogosphere yesterday who were saying, look, everyone's coming down on Jay Cutler. Let's not speculate until we actually have information. Anything else would be irresponsible. Why are you willing to give Jay Cutler the benefit of the doubt that that was not a serious enough injury to keep him out of a playoff game?
All right, why in the hell would, in a 14-0 game at the half, a multi-million dollar quarterback take himself out of the NFC Championship game against the team's number one rival if he wasn't truly hurt?
Because he doesn't want to get blamed for the loss.
Come on.
Listen, I don't know, but the circumstances.
It wasn't 42 to nothing.
I know.
It wasn't 35 to nothing. It wasn't a Buffalo Houston Warren Moon Jim Kelly deal.
But look, the circumstances were weird in that you can almost always point to an injury, when it happened, how it happened, which player rolled over on his leg or foot or whatever.
Sure.
And they couldn't find that with him, and he was barely limping off the field. And then in the second half, I guess all the talk was, if you're injured and you want to come back in, you get the steroid shot, you put ice on it. He's just standing on the sideline like he didn't care.
Well, you're right. There are two huge factors here that make the fans angry. Number one, there's no body. There's no blood. When Julius Peppers hit Aaron Rodgers and nearly knocked his head off, the guy stood up, he was shaky, and he started licking blood off his tongue, and people went, ooh.
Right, you know what he did?
We want blood these days.
Stayed in the game.
Right.
Yeah.
And number two, if there is blood, or even if there isn't, we want to see the guy on the sideline getting angry with the training staff saying, put me in, damn it. And we didn't see either of those.
He looked like he didn't care at all.
But that's his body language. He's a pouty little baby half the time. Say that about Jay. He's a pouty little baby.
Andrew, let me ask you this question. Yeah. Let me ask you this question. I'm sorry to interrupt. And I, by the way, I agree with you. I think that he was too hurt to go back in. But my question to you is, it wasn't his call, right? He doesn't get to decide not to go back in. It's the coach's call, right?
This is how it was explained after the game, that
So remember, it's about 30 seconds left after that interception when they were reviewing the pick down inside the 5, and they got that call wrong. He should have been down on the 2, not on the 15 on the run back. But Cutler goes into the locker room early with the training staff. So they're going to go in there and give him a couple of minutes to look at.
But wait, let me just stop you right there. Yeah. When he was limping off the field after that play,
yes.
If you weren't told he was limping, you almost wouldn't have noticed it.
So let's say they go to the locker room, they do a quick look, and they say, dude, you've got a torn MCL and maybe a sprained PCL. You shouldn't go back out there. And he says, I'm going to try to give it a go. And they say, all right, but if we can tell that you can put nothing on the ball, that you cannot plant that leg, that you're doing everything off your back leg and everything with your arm, and you can't move, we're going to let you go one series.
Which was his first series, right?
Right.
Back.
Yeah. But if it looks like that you're worthless, we're taking your ass out. And that's what happened. You're going to find out today on that MRI, there's at least one torn ligament. Now, here's the question. Can you play with one torn ligament? And even if it looks like you're immobile and ineffective, do you still give your team the best chance to win? And did the medical staff make the right... Okay, as a doctor, I guarantee the medical staff made the right decision.
Right.
Realistically, however...
Guys going to the playoffs will play with anything.
Would you fight it a little bit more? And I guess the question is, how much damage could have been done if he had stayed out there? I don't know that. I have no... clue, but I'll say this. I find it hard to believe that any quarterback on that big of a stage would say, yeah, you know what? You're right. Let Todd Collins play. Because let me tell you something about Todd Collins, another quarterback. He should have been retired. Matter of fact, he was retired when they had an injury early in the season. They begged him to come out of retirement because he was one of the few veteran backups available. He didn't want to play.
Yeah.
Actually, when they called him, he said, no, thank you.
He was right.
And hung up.
He was right. He was right. He should have stuck to that.
By his body language, he did not want to be there.
And right. Yeah, he was terrible. He was terrible.
He legitimately was likely angry that he had to play. They should have had Caleb Haney, the number 3, as the number 2.
And by the way, as close as a game as it ended up being, Caleb Haney very nearly got them to a tie. Very nearly. I mean,
the kid played well.
He really did.
Well. Yeah.
For a third string guy who doesn't get much play time, obviously, that was really impressive. I mean, he was almost the hero. All right, we're almost out of time. Andrew Siciliano is on the phone, by the way, of course, also hosting the final score on FSN Prime Ticket Wednesday and Thursday night. Look for him for that. Let's talk AFC for just a minute. How did the Jets let themselves get buried in the first half and then have so far to come back? That's another game they certainly had a chance to win, but just started too late.
I know all of Mark Sanchez. Friends are upset. They couldn't stop the run early.
Yeah.
It just flat out could not stop the run early. And then when they did get close, I questioned some of the play calling. I mean, before the safety, which Roethlisberger couldn't handle the snap at the end zone, they throw on second and third down and run right into the middle of the line on fourth down and have to turn the ball over. Their defense simply could not do the job in the first half. Whatever magic they had last week in New England, defensively, at least in the first half, they didn't have that. In the second half, they did.
Yeah.
I mean, Sanchez threw for more yards than Roethlisberger. The team, as a total, turned the ball over fewer times, yet could not win, which just shows you that what the Packers did, winning on the road in a conference championship game, is that much more impressive because it is not easy to do.
Yeah,
I know it's always tough to tell. Super Bowls that you don't think are going to be good or great and others that are going to be epic matchups turn out to fizzle. But this one does have a lot going for it. I'm very excited to see these two teams playing up against each other because they are both amazing clubs.
I think it's great that in the modern palace for gluttony in the NFL, which is Jerry Jones' stadium, you will have two of the oldest, proudest, most historic franchises from smaller markets. I love the dichotomy. I love the game.
I do too.
I mean, the fact that the Packers are the early favorite are a little bit surprising, but I love the game.
All right, Andrew. Always great to catch up with you, my friend. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin Amin Show. Enjoy.
Got it.
Thank you.
All right, Travel and Leisure Magazine. I don't read it, but it's very popular with people who travel and enjoy leisure. That's my guess.
Yeah, it's. I believe that's the 75-plus crowd.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
Surprising then that I don't read it. Well, they had a America's Favorite Cities survey recently where they asked their readers to rate 35 cities on 54 subjective qualities. Now, we're going to talk about the rudest city, but one of the other categories, for instance, is the most and least attractive people.
Like, where do they live?
Wow.
Memphis, apparently, has the ugliest people.
Really?
And Charleston, South Carolina, has the prettiest. So that's the type of thing I would not have known without this travel and leisure.
Okay.
But rude is the headline here. L.A. is the rudest city in America.
Oh, and New York City.
That's what you would think, right? But this
yes.
is the readers of the magazine. Some of the others in the top 20, by the way, include San Francisco at number 14. That surprised me. Did not anticipate that. Seattle at number 16 also surprised me. I was surprised to see Phoenix at number 12 on this list. Phoenix doesn't strike me as being a rude city at all.
This is ridiculous.
Well, I don't know. Like I said, it's readers of travel and leisure, but Los Angeles at number one definitely surprised a lot of people. So we asked producer Alex to line somebody up for us from the L.A. Tourism Board, and I believe we have Mr. Scotty Von Flugen on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning to you, sir.
What?
Well, I'm sorry.
What do you want?
We're calling to talk to you about this story about Los Angeles being the rudest city in America.
Oh,
okay. Sir, we are on the radio. I thought our producer Alex cleared this with you, told you that we were going to be speaking with you, and you knew what the topic was.
You know how much this goddamn phone rings all day?
Well, you work
ring, at the... Ring, 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 ring. I do nothing but talk to jackholes like you.
But you work at the Board of Tourism. That's
yes.
your...
Yes, I do. Congratulations. You know where you called. Aren't you a genius?
No, but I'm saying that's your gig.
Yeah, it is. What do you want?
Okay, but is it your job to talk to people and answer questions about the city of Los Angeles?
Oh, Jesus, you're a f***ing retard.
Okay.
Oh, well, this never ends.
Maybe we have our answer.
I've been on the phone with you for 30 seconds. Right. I want to f***ing kill myself.
All right, maybe we have our answer. Listen, Los Angeles is the rudest city in America.
Says who?
Says Travel and Leisure magazine. They rated 35 cities on 54 different qualities, and Los Angeles came out at the top.
Well, lick. Travel and Tourism magazine, or wherever the
f***
you are.
Well, aren't you supposed to care what Travel and Leisure says?
No, why should I f*** care what they say?
Because you're a representative of Los Angeles.
Right. I got my hands full. Right. I got a lot of worries. I got a wife who may be cheating on me.
Oh, no.
I got a kid who I don't know if he's bi or gay or what, but I know he's cutting himself and doing a lot of mess.
He's a cutter.
So I got a lot of issues. Oh. I can't worry about what Travel and magazine has to say.
Look, we're not trying to upset you. We just thought, you know, honestly, we thought you'd come on and say, no, that's ridiculous. They got it all wrong. Our city is actually very polite, and we're getting a bad rap.
Hey,
here.
It may be right. It may not be right. I don't know. I'm not out there all day okay. long talking to people. Hey, how's it going, Joe? What's going on, pal? I'm not walking up down the street shaking hands. Who knows if people are rude or not? I have no clue. Do you? How many people do you talk to in a day?
Well, I mean, a lot. But the point is you should because you're on the Board of Tourism.
Oh, Jesus
All
Christ.
Right.
Stop telling me what I do for a living.
All
right?
Right.
Stop telling me where I work and what I do.
Okay.
I know my job. You All know right. your job?
I think the reason this comes as a surprise to many people is they expected New York City. That's the city that has the reputation
that's
of being rude.
That's a city full of
right. right, but I think that's the point about this article that's so fascinating is that Los Angeles, number one, New York City, number two, Philadelphia, number three.
I'm sorry, am I supposed to go about any of this?
Doesn't seem to bother you. All right, maybe we have our answer. Maybe you're the one they talked to. Did Travel and Leisure call you and ask you about our city?
I don't remember, but if they did,
All right.
There you go, good enough.
Congratulations to Lauren Vogler from Irvine. Just got those social D tickets and got on the boarding list for a trip to Australia. It's the world famous K-Rock at 8:40.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Sal Masekela talks all things winter X Games coming up in about a half an hour. Ralph's got the showbiz beat in minutes. First, though, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air. You call us 24 hours a day to leave a message. We play it back on the radio. Here's the number, 323-520-AFRO. What are they talking about today?
They're talking about Omar's wonderful, wonderful tour de force. His college, was it college or high school?
College.
College movie called Cucamonga Heat.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. You can find on YouTube and you must watch.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. What's happening now?
We're convinced that Omar has terrorist ties. I don't know what led us to believe that. It has to be more than just that his name is Omar Khan, right? But the joke has been for years that at some point he's going to get the message from headquarters
right.
that the time is now, and then we're all dead men. And I hope that doesn't happen. I hope we're wrong about
we're
that.
We're all trying to stay on his good side. You know,
right.
so
yeah,
like maybe he'll come tip me off before the time is now.
But see, this is just like those mob arrests last week. You heard all those stories about the people, the informants from the FBI who went and lived with the mobsters for years to kind of set up the bust. Omar has been with us so long
he's a
now
sleeper.
That we're... Yeah, we're yeah. starting to let our guard down. Now we're starting to think he's one of us, but let's never forget he's not.
This, get Hito Rick up, if you wouldn't mind there, Mike. This is, I think Psycho Mike's favorite clip ever.
my favorite person ever.
From an internet roundup. And it's, I don't know, he's got to be in his 40s? A guy in Phoenix, 50s?
He's pushing 60, yeah.
And he goes to nudist colonies, and this is what he talks about.
The wild women. The wild women. The ripping and the tearing. The ripping and the tearing.
So that's...
Yep.
That guy exists. And then I was watching ESPN at the same time this guy was watching ESPN.
I'd like to quote ESPN Live this morning. The Wild Clippers, the Griffin and the Terran,
Nice. That guy said that.
Nice.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, that's just, it's a small world. That's crazy. Traffic doesn't usually make people angry.
Hey, traffic. Yeah, f*** you, traffic. I don't like you.
All right. Not everyone likes traffic, but most people do. Who's what was the homeless guy's name? Ted Williams? Ted?
Williams. Yeah. Williams. The homeless guy with the golden voice. Yeah.
Hi there. This is the original golden-voiced man, George Takei. Let me tell you about this idiot asshole, Ted Williams. The only thing that makes him special than all the other golden-voiced people out there is he was drinking Colt 45 and sporting a Rod Stewart hairstyle when he was discovered. There are many wonderful golden voices out there. Ozzy Osbourne, Gilbert Gottfried, and Kevin Ryder. Did you hear him on the Grammys? Brilliant work. But there's one thing all these people can't say that only I can. How great is male ass? Suck it, Williams.
And nice to hear from Mr. Sulu.
Defending his turf.
It's bad enough you guys play internet clips on the radio. But did you guys really just play an internet clip of someone doing sign language on the radio?
As a matter of fact, it was to the song F You. You're absolutely right. Yes, somebody was signing the CeeLo Green song. Good catch.
Good catch, and you're welcome. And finally, one of our favorite people is Doto. We can never figure out what he's talking about. We don't know if he's telling the truth all the time. He says he travels the world. We think he probably does.
Yeah.
But if you start asking him questions, his stories falls apart, and it seems like sometimes he's a little scatterbrained.
Hey, Kevin Bean is Doto, man. Happy New Year's, Kevin Bean. You know what? I just got back from sushi tonight, Kevin Bean. Like California Roll, had raw fish, had tempura shrimp, and you know, the bill was a pretty good chunk, man. So I thought, you know, maybe Lightning or Cycle Mike or Dave or Alma can pick up the bill, man, because the bill is about $30, Kevin Bean. So just joking around.
Okay, so that's his joke. The bill was $30, but he always claims that he's got money because his parents are wealthy.
What, right. Was he saying that he was hoping somebody on our show would pick up the tab for his dinner? Okay.
Yes, and then he said that was a joke before he even gave us a chance to understand that that was a joke.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he continued.
Yep. I just want some babes, man. Bye.
He does want some babes.
He does want some babes. Yeah.
So. Don't need some babes. That's the message.
He is the international man of mystery, and I'll never get over the fact that Mike went to his house and found a bag of knives hidden in his home.
Knives like, and
a drawer full of ladies and
a drawer full of panties.
Yep.
And I said, Doto, what is this hidden bag of knives? And his excuse was, it's not.
We're still to this day baffled by it's not because. Because it was.
I was holding it in my hand to his face.
And what did he say about, do you have the clip of him with the women's panties? Because he did say something about, why is there hundreds of women's panties? And his answer was something like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Why did I just stumble upon a collection of hundreds of pairs of women's panties?
I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
Which is
as if you're making it up, like you're pulling it out of the air instead of actually looking at it with your own eyes.
He's using our master plan, which is just to lie in the face of overwhelming proof.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. Mike, and it's sort of working.
It always works. When he says it's not, Mike doesn't know what to say.
Yeah, you can't go anywhere if you won't admit that it's actually there in front of you.
He's genius.
We are just scraping the surface of that boy. And if we live to interview him again another day, we will.
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
Monday on the Kevin Bean Show, Ralph Garman joins us at this time each hour for the Showbiz Beat. What you talking about today, Ralph?
Because it's Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office to let you know what people are going to see. And looks like the majority of moviegoers this weekend went to check out No Strings Attached, the new rom-com, as they call it in the business, with Ashton Kutcher and the lovely Natalie Portman.
She's so hot.
Kevin was one of those people.
I gotta tell you, it's funny.
There you go. It's better than you think. It's really good. Everybody's good. I love everybody.
It's better than you think. It is. And it's funnier than you think.
You know what? But when I first started training, when I used to work out in a boxing gym, back when I was like a teenager, I didn't want to get hit.
And the guy I was working with said, I'm just going to hit you a bunch of times in the face.
Right.
Because you're going to find out it's not nearly as bad as you think it is. The fear of getting hit in the face is a lot worse than actually getting hit in the face. So we're going to start things off by me punching you in the face a couple times. And I went, wow, you know what? It isn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. But it still sucks a lot. So I would say that no strings attached is equivalent to a punch in the face. It's a cinematic punch in the face.
All right, considering it's a romantic comedy, it's in that genre.
There's a lot of good romantic comedies.
Yes, there are.
Yes.
This is a 7 in that genre.
It sounds like crap.
I'm not going to go. There's so many good movies in theaters. I'm not going to go on my way to go see a 7.
But what's out there this weekend? What was out there this weekend that I
saw Barney's Version, the new Paul Giamatti movie.
Never heard of that
movie. Which you said was fine.
You said it was fine.
It's better than a 7. It's like a solid 8.
Sexy Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman's pretty hot.
Yeah, but I refuse to take that as an argument when there's a movie out right now where she does hot lesbo stuff with Mila Kunis.
Yeah, right.
Like I understand that, but
so then you've won the sexy Natalie Portman lottery already.
No, there's
you don't go and buy another ticket thinking you're going to get another jackpot.
If she's in a movie every weekend, I'll go see it. She's pretty hot. She's one of the 5 or 6 girls in my top 3.
She's not hot. She's one of the 5 or 6 girls in your top 3?
It's hard to narrow it down.
Those words just got...
It's hard to narrow down my top 3. I'm just saying she's one of my favorites. Back to you.
But Ashton Kutcher's still in it, though, right? They didn't cut him out this weekend.
Right, and I'm prone to hate him like you are, and he's a red flag when I see him in a you know, trailer, and he was good.
Do you know what red flag means, Kevin?
No.
It means you don't go because there's a red flag.
It's like, but it's a warning. I'm going to stay away from that danger
zone.
See,
that's the difference between you and me is I see a red flag, I keep going.
You're a bull. You see the red flag, you charge towards it.
Right.
Damn you to hell.
I'm just saying, it was pretty good considering.
$20.3 million it made this weekend. The Green Hornet came in at number 2 with $18.1 million. Dilemma was 3rd. King's Speech was 4th. True Grit came in at number 5. Black Swan, The Fighter, Little Fockers, Yogi Bear, and Tron Legacy rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of bad movies and bad actors, the Razzie nominations were released this morning. For those of you who don't know, the Golden Raspberry Award is the award they give out for the worst achievement in motion pictures over the past year. It's the anti-Oscar, and they always release their nominations the day before the Oscar releases theirs, and they give out the award the day before the Oscar ceremony. So here are the nominees for Worst Movie. Bounty Hunter with Jennifer Aniston and Gerard Butler.
See, I didn't even see that one. It looks terrible.
But Jennifer Aniston's sexy. Yeah. Oh, she's pretty. Oh,
not like
did you
Portman.
Go see that and just be horrible twice?
No.
Last Airbender, M. Night Shyamalan's movie. Nominated.
He's a giant red flag, M. Night Shyamalan.
Sex in the City, number 2.
Sure.
How aptly named. Number 2. Twilight Saga Eclipse, Vampires Suck. There's your roundup for worst picture. Worst actor, Jack Black for Gulliver's Travels. Gerard Butler for Bounty Hunter. Ashton Kutcher, oh, look at that. Oh, look at that one he's got there. For Killers and Valentine's Day.
That's either of them.
That Killers was that one with the Toothy McFanghead. What's
Catherine Heigl?
Catherine Heigl, yeah, yeah. Where they play
McFanghead. Oh, that's right.
Where they play assassin husband and wife.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Valentine's Day. He was also in that, nominated for that. Taylor Lautner and Robert Pattinson, of course, for their monster movie work. Worst actors: Jennifer Aniston for Bounty Hunter and The Switch. I don't even remember The Switch.
Anybody isn't know? The Switch where she takes a guy's essence?
Yes.
And someone gets mixed up. Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh right, the baby. Yeah. She has somebody's baby. Yeah. Right. Okay. Miley Cyrus for The Last Song. All 4 girls for Sex in the City 2, Megan Fox for Jonah Hex, and Kristen Stewart for Twilight Saga Eclipse. So there are some of your nominations for the Razzies.
I don't think Jennifer Aniston is a bad actress, by the way, but I do think she picks terrible movies.
Do you think she has a lot of range?
No.
As a performer? I don't either. I think she tends to... This new Adam Sandler movie that she's in with him scares the hell out of me, this thing, I'll tell you.
Scares meaning you don't want to see it because it's going to be bad?
Something evil this way comes. That's all I got to tell you.
Although Brooklyn Decker's in it.
I was going to say, yes, Kevin will see him because Brooklyn Decker's, you know, halfway hot. Dressed. Yeah.
Come on now.
See, but that...
What do you need?
I need more than that to go see. Unless she's banging somebody on the screen, I'm not going to go see that. As hot as Brooklyn Decker is...
Natalie Portman was in her underwear half of this movie.
Well, I can't take that argument when she's doing full-on lesbo stuff.
Saw it!
I know, but you can go see that again. You know what I'm saying? Like,
saw it. May see it again. Don't know.
Back to you. That is a poor excuse.
You know there's pornography in the world, Kevin, where hot girls do things that are practically unnatural for your amusement and entertainment and right. sexual pleasure?
Right.
So why are you going to see through it?
She's
through
Natalie
Ashton
Portman.
Kutcher movies.
Ashton Kutcher was good in this.
God damn you.
And listen, I'm surprised to say that, and I don't like that those words are coming
you
out of my mouth.
You are wrong.
It's very possible.
On so many levels.
He didn't bother me, and he usually does.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Ernest Borgnine is 94 years old. I'd rather see Ernest Borgnine banging Natalie Portman in a movie than Ashton Kutcher. Neil Diamond is 70 years old today. Matthew Lillard turns 41 today. Ed Helms, very funny and talented actor from The Office and The Hangover feature film, 36 years old. Tatiana Ali from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is 32. And Misha Barton, she was on The OC. Now she's on the DL.
Oh, come on.
Wow.
Because you put on the LBs.
LOL.
She is 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's a big deal to be at the X Games.
Downhill is good. Here is the jump.
Clips it very short. We are outside of the Staples Center. A beautiful night for Moto X. If you are not standing up at home, Tony Hawk, X Games.
We have lost our minds in the booth right now.
Shaun White, as focused as he's ever been.
And the man fell from the sky over 50 feet. Oh, my gosh. His shoes.
25 foot down.
This is Sal Masekela, host of the ESPN X Games.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the X Games without our man behind the microphone. Ladies and gentlemen, Sal Masekela, live from Aspen, Colorado, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Sal?
Yeah, buddies. I am fantastic. Every time you guys play that intro, I wonder how I'm still employed.
Well, you do a lot of yelling, and
but that's appropriate. The yelling is appropriate for what you're describing, though.
Now, it's the truth.
Sal, may we refer to you by your new Aspen nickname, the Shreddy Negro. Is that allowed?
Yes. Who told you about that?
You did. You tweeted it, that you're the Shreddy Negro, and I just thought it was the funniest thing I ever heard. The Winter X Games have got to be something special for you because you are so into winter sports. I mean, personally, you know, as a snowboarder and everything like that, I mean, you must love this stuff.
It's the greatest. You know, when I flew into Aspen this morning, and as we're landing, I just, you know, it's snowing, and I land, and I'm like, wow, this is my job. I'm gonna ride powder every day and talk about snowboarding for the next 7 days. So yeah, it's fantastic. I can't believe that this is my tenth Winter X Games.
Wow, that's amazing. 24 hours of live HD programming on ESPN, ESPN2, and ESPN3.com, and they have made some changes. They've switched around some categories or added some competitions. What's the overview of the Winter X Games this time around, Sal?
You know, we've got some really cool new events. We've got the real snow event where we sent a bunch of guys out to film video parts of them engaging in what I like to call urban shredding.
Sure.
It's basically guys who go out and pretend like they're on skateboards, except they're on snowboards, and they're hitting, you know, street features and rails and doing all sorts of crazy things, getting towed in behind cars to hit obstacles. And it's stuff that you see in a lot of snowboard video parts, and these guys are actually really big stars in snowboarding, and people might not know them if they, you know, only get to see snowboarding on X Games. So we had an online competition, 10 video parts, some of the best guys in the world, and people will be able to watch the parts and vote on them.
That's cool.
During X Games, which I'm really, really excited about, man.
We're having a guest every single day on this on the show here. I guess we've got Gretchen Bleiler on.
Yep.
She's the snowboarder. We got the snowmobile snowcross. Mike Schultz is going to be on the program. It's amazing. Some of these athletes are really coming up big. I mean, they're starting to be names as a result of how successful the Winter X Games have been.
That Gretchen Bleiler is, well, first of all, she's a biscuit.
Yeah.
you got to love her. And she, you know, she's parlayed her success here at X Games into all sorts of amazing branding. I think her women's line for Oakley Outerwear is probably the strongest selling line that they have. And I mean, she's crossed over from well beyond snowboarding. So, you know, X Games, it's funny how it's something that people considered fringe for so long, and
right,
it would just come and go. And, like, here we can say now it's Winter X Games 15. And, you know, a lot of these athletes, like you mentioned, you come to X Games and you show your, and prove yourself. You know, you can become a brand in and of itself. I mean, just look at Shaun White.
That's the fun of it too, by the way, is that we don't even know some of the people who are going to make history or be brands, you know, coming up this weekend. I mean, it really does make a big difference. Shaun White is a name that you know, but you started 10 years ago. How many hours of programming were they doing for the Winter X Games 10 years ago?
Oh, man.
I mean, was it a lot less, or did they try to cover it as much as they do now?
It's funny. I think we're doing as much programming as we did 10 years ago. We actually did it as much 10 years ago and then really pared it down to nothing. And then within the last few years, as ratings have gone back up and the sports have grown, we realized, hey, we gotta put lots of people want to see action on the air. They want to feel like they can be part of a four-day event, as opposed to just, you know, a couple hours here and then.
Right, like
so
a recap.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited. At the same time, you know, I'm going to be part of most of those 28 hours.
Yeah. So Monday, you're going to just be, you're just going to die.
Monday, I try to walk around with like a facial, like ski mask on.
Sure.
Around town so I don't have to say words. But it's exciting. You know, the whole thing ends up being a blur from, you know, 8 a.m. to midnight every day. But, you know, I live for it. And hopefully I know people will get a great show this year.
Well, I guarantee you're absolutely right about that. And Kevin is also so right in that there are highlights that we're never going to forget that we have no idea what's awaiting us yet. I mean, there's no way to tell until it happens, because every year somebody comes out and they does something that just blows your mind. And that's the beauty of X Games.
Yeah, in slopestyle, there's a kid named Haldor Helgason. He's a Scandinavian kid, Viking. And, you know, last year the big talk was in big air was the double corks, where you have guys spinning, you know, doing 1080s and 1260 degree rotations,
right,
but flipping twice.
Right.
This kid can now do them flipping three times. So he's flipping three times and spinning 1080 degrees.
That's the other thing that's so cool about X Games. It's different than the NFL and the NBA and everything else, is that what happened last year is last year. And you got to start there and build and get better.
That's right.
Most of the time, if you do the same thing you did that won the gold last year, you might not even medal.
Yeah, it sucks if you're a pro. It really sucks. Like, I know guys that are like 24, 25 years old now who were running things for years, and they find themselves really thinking, I don't even know if I want to risk what it needs to be done to still be the person who's breaking ground in these sports, because you've got kids now that are learning these tricks in airbags. There's airbags in Mammoth and in Park City, Utah, and in Michigan, where kids can go and pay $20 for the day and learn how to spin tricks into an airbag at like 9, 10 years old.
Right.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
We didn't
Winter
have that.
X Games 15 is going to be this Thursday through Sunday. Again, 24 hours of live HD programming on ESPN, ESPN2, and ESPN3.com. 18 hours of original coverage on ESPN 3D, by the way, which, Kevin, I know you got the 3D TV. You couldn't be more excited about that.
I love it, but Sal, you're not in 3D, are you?
I hope to God that no one has to see me in 3D.
I do too. But listen, I love you, but I do too.
you have come a long way on ESPN since the Rock, Paper, Scissors Championship, Sal. That's all I got to tell you, man.
Look, we have to bring it up every time we talk to you. That's all.
Of course.
I'll never live that one.
You shouldn't.
Now.
That was awesome.
Don't take it back. It was the best. Winter X Games 15. Sal, we appreciate you carving out some time for us out there at the Buttermilk Mountain in Aspen. Have a fantastic X Games. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 9:41.
Psycho Mike, are we allowed to say who your guests are when you fill in for Regis later in the week?
Sure, it's on the.
Come on, bring it. Who we got?
Is it Kelsey Grammer?
Listen, no, it's not Kelsey Grammer. Oh.
The man of radio who's filling in today's got Sir Anthony Hopkins. You got some at least.
Hopkins!
You've got at least somebody that good when you fill in on Friday, Regis, don't you?
You have Colin Firth from The King's Speech. Is he going to be on?
I got Brooke Shields.
Brooke Shields.
High school guest.
Bryan Adams.
Wait.
Bryan Adams.
Wait, it's 2011.
Yeah.
Did you say Ryan Adams?
No, that'd be amazing.
Oh, okay.
It'd be amazing if it was Ryan Adams.
There's a B at the beginning of that?
There's a B. Canada's own Bryan Adams.
Oh.
My sister, she's...
Your sister's going to be on the show?
She texted me when I let her know about that. She said, are you hosting a show from when I was a senior in high school?
Oh, giggity. They are loading you up with the crap.
So. Well, good luck with that, Mike. Have fun. I'm sure you got
fail.
A lot of good questions for Bryan Adams.
Show. That was a throwaway show. They're like, oh, we got him. He's hosting. Let's just throw one away.
I thought I was like cleaning up. I thought it was a cleanup. I thought it was a good thing.
No. Who are the people we don't really want?
You're hosting a burner.
Let's put them all in front.
That's a placeholding show right there. That's just they don't lose a time slot.
I'm gonna have to tear the roof off then.
Yeah. Okay.
Psycho Mike is filling in for Regis on Friday, and look for him tonight on The Bachelor too. Oh. He and Dr. Drew as the ladies stop by the Loveline show on The Bachelor tonight.
How can I escape him? Where will he not be?
Maybe you can't.
Don't let me know where he's going to be. Let me know where he's going to not be so I can watch that and be there.
Okay. Right now, Ralph Garman joins us for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
I've been getting a bunch of emails saying why I haven't talked about Red State, and I guess I should say something. I just want to, you know, wish congratulations to Kevin Smith and the rest of my Red State family because it did debut last night at Sundance, at the Sundance Film Festival.
Oh, I didn't realize that was
there. Yeah, that's where it made its premiere last night.
All right.
And it's getting mixed reviews. Some people really hate it.
Okay.
Because there's people out there who hate Smith.
Yeah.
He's made some enemies amongst the blogosphere when it comes to these movie blogs and stuff like that.
And so, doesn't this film have a political point of view that may be polarizing for some people too, Ralph?
It really isn't a political film, although the centerpiece of the movie is a Fred Phelps-type Westboro Baptist Church kind of right-wing religious cult.
But he's so far, it seems like everyone agrees on him.
There's not much controversy about that guy.
That's why Smith is really not political.
Right.
You couldn't... before anybody in this movie, that he's hated by everyone, so it's really not political. You know, there's swipes at everybody. There's swipes at, you know, radical religious people, but I think it's that kind of stands in for anybody who's radically religious.
Sure.
There's some shots at sort of the anti-terrorism stand sometimes in all governments that kind of affect personal freedoms and that kind of
sure.
stuff, you know, but it's all really... window dressing for what is basically just a horror movie. It's just supposed to scare you.
Really. Right.
That's the premise of the film. So, yeah, it's getting some rough reviews, but also Hollywood Reporter and the LA Times and some other newspapers really liked it an awful lot. So I congratulate Kevin and everybody who had something to do with it, and I'm happy to be a part of it. And he also kind of made waves last night by announcing that he's not going to sell the film to anyone to distribute. He's going to do it himself.
What?
And took a stand and said, I don't think it's right that you should take a $4 million movie like Red State and spend $25 million marketing it. It doesn't make any sense. There's no way you can make money with a business model like that. It's the studio way of doing things, especially when it comes to independent films, is just ass backwards, and he won't participate.
Huh.
So he's going to do it himself. He's going to distribute the film himself.
Huh.
So that's caused some ripples this morning in the media. So it's been an interesting morning as I've read some of the articles written about my buddy Kevin. But I'm awful proud of the film, and I'm proud of what he's doing, and I think it's going to be interesting. If nothing else, it's not the same old, which I find
right.
refreshing.
Sure.
So congratulations to everybody involved with the film. It's been an interesting morning. But let's talk about the movies at the box office this weekend. No Strings Attached, number one at the box office. Kevin, nice work. $20 million he made in its debut this weekend. The Green Hornet was two, then The Dilemma, The King's Speech, and True Grit was fifth. The bottom five of the top ten, Black Swan, The Fighter, Little Fockers, Yogi Bear, and Tron Legacy.
There were people who left their house this weekend and went to the movie theater and paid money to go see Yogi Bear.
They sure did,
this
boo-boo.
Weekend that happened.
They sure did, boo-boo.
Wow. That's a kid's thing, right?
Yeah. Look, out of that list, I can't see any of the kids' movies. If you're going to take your kids to a cartoon... Yogi Bear is pretty much all you got.
Just get high first.
You're not going to take him to Black Swan.
Unless you want him to grow up fast.
Harold, I think this is a cartoon about swans from Disney. Let's go see the Black Swan with the kids.
You get there and feathers are poking out and stuff. It's nuts. That movie's nuts. Nuts, I say. Joey Fatone in the news. That's right, I said Joey Fatone's in the news. People are speculating whether he's got money troubles or not. Photographers caught him outside of his home in Windermere, Florida, having a yard sale.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Has Joey fallen on hard times?
Oh, no.
Starting to sell stuff off? One reporter saw a guy buy a puzzle from Joey for $5. And then asked him to autograph it, and apparently Joey did for another 10.
Come on!
Seriously?
Come on, fat one.
So maybe things are rough down there.
All right.
At Fatone Manor, where he lives. We'll have to wait and see. Jason Sudeikis from Saturday Night Live apparently has a new girlfriend. He was dating January Jones, by the way, from Mad Men.
Mm-hmm. Strong.
New York Daily News reports he was spotted canoodling with Heather Graham at the Edison
nice
Ballroom in New York City the other night. So congratulations, Jason Sudeikis.
Well done.
Heather Graham. She's really held her value right there.
Yes.
She's got a shelf life, that one.
I think January Jones is probably prettier, but that's a step up, right, to Heather Graham, because that's a party.
Yeah,
Heather
Graham's she's a good time.
I think so, yeah.
She's freaking roller girl, for God's sakes.
Boobs are holding up nicely for a gal her age, I'll say that.
Certainly are. Kiefer Sutherland may have spoken out of turn when he told Extra last Friday that the 24 feature film will begin filming in 8 months.
Oh, that'd be great. But no.
It would be great. Producers for the project said, it's still in development. We have no director attached. It's really kind of far away from going into production. Not really sure what Kiefer was referring to. Look, I hope he's right and they're wrong.
Yeah.
But there seems to be some contrary opinions about how that production's coming along. So we'll have to wait and see. MTV's controversial new program, Skins, debuted last week. The Parents Television Council is up in arms, calling the series about teenagers who engage in sex and drugs pornographic. Listen, Parent Television Council, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to send you over some DVDs, okay? I'm going to send you some actual pornography, and then I want you to watch Skins again, and then you tell me what the difference is between those two things.
You are provocatively dressed all the time with your fake boobs. Yes. You feel you have to show off.
It's true, I do.
When you brought this up last week, Ralph, didn't they say something like it was the most dangerous show in the history of television or something like that?
Yes, they did.
Well, I think that could be supported.
Well, we all know Suddenly Susan was the most dangerous show on television of all time.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but Brooke Shields is going to be with Mike next week. Maybe you can ask her. Well, Skins is losing sponsors quickly. Maybe it's the controversy, but Taco Bell on Thursday of last week pulled out from Skins.
Ew.
General Motors on Friday and then Wrigley Chewing Gum on Saturday said they will no longer advertise on the program as well. So, I'm saying if you're looking to buy some ad time,
you can get it cheap.
You might be able to get some cheap 30-second spots over there at Skins on MTV.
As usual, by the way, those clients have no problem with the show. They just don't want to be associated with the controversy.
That's
people
what I'm
who do.
Assuming, yeah. Because who's going to chew all that gum while driving Cadillacs eating Taco Bell?
Right.
Oh, Cameron Diaz used to buy her dope from Snoop.
That's a great headline.
Apparently, she went to the same high school with Snoop Dogg in Long Beach, California. And she said she used to pal around with Snoop Dogg. In fact, she used to buy her weed from him.
Okay.
Hey, you know what? How about discretion? How about on the QT?
Come on, it's Snoop.
Right, no, but, you know, we all know he smokes it, but we don't have to know he was dealing it as a teenager.
I think that's kind of funny.
I think he should shoot her.
Wow.
Really?
Drive-by. I think he's a drive-by.
Huh.
You start dropping dime on people, you're going to be a snitch. You pay the price. I learned that watching Southland. Remember when little Flacco was trying to, you know, tell tales out of school?
Sure.
Bang. Whacked him. You know.
You're not pulling this off, by the way.
I'm not even a little bit. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Actor Ernest Borgnine, 94 years old today.
He doesn't look a day over 104.
Ernie is the man, I'll have you know.
Is he?
He was, first of all, McHale.
Never saw it.
That's all you need to know.
McHale's Navy?
McHale's Navy,
never saw
bitches.
It.
Didn't he win an Oscar about over 50 years ago, right, Ralph?
1954,
what?
I believe, for Marty.
Yeah.
For his performance in Marty.
Marty.
Oh, that's Back to the Future. He was also in Escape from New York. He was the cab driver in Escape from New York.
Oh, yeah!
Remember? He was great in that.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
I'm just saying, Ernie's done a lot of good work.
All right.
He's 94 years old. Neil
I
Diamond.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
Neil Diamond is 70 years old today. Matthew Lillard is 41. Ed Helms from The Office is 36. Tatiana Ali from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is 32. And Misha Barton from The O.C. turns 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have an internet roundup for you, a brand new one. We have Gretchen Bleiler, who, of course, is a snowboarder for the Winter X Games.
And a biscuit.
And a biscuit.
That's what I hear, yeah.
As Sal Masekela says. Kevin Pereira and Candace Bailey, who are the hosts of G4's Attack of the Show, will be in studio. We're going to tell you about a package that you can buy where you have to spend $200 to stand outside the Super Bowl.
What? I don't know. I thought I could stand outside it for free.
Well, you used to be able to, but right. I think they're putting it on a TV screen. I believe you can buy a package that involves you being outside of the building.
For just $200?
Yes, for just $200.
Get me a dozen.
Plus, from Metallica, we've got Lars Ulrich.
What?
All right.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music. Because you demanded it, yes, we'll be playing some local H for you. Also, the new one for Mumford & Sons. We got Blink-182, My Chemical Romance, Pearl Jam, and more next on K-Rock.